You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative.
...were filed against him. Cho killed 32 people and himself in the rampage Monday. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld a nationwide ban enacted in 2003 on an abortion procedure that opponents call partial birth abortion. Today's 5-4 decision is seen as a victory for anti-abortion forces. At the White House, President Bush met with a bipartisan group of lawmakers for more than an hour today to try to reconcile key differences in the funding bill for the Iraq War. However, they failed to reach an agreement. In mostly Shiite areas of Baghdad today, four large bomb blasts killed at least 183 people. Hundreds were wounded. The worst attack occurred at a crowded marketplace, which was the site of a massive bombing in February, which killed 137 people. In response, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki ordered the Iraqi colonel in charge of security in that area to be arrested. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who is in Israel, responded that the military had expected al-Qaeda terrorists and other insurgents to step up the violence so that the Iraqis would believe that the security plan had failed. President Bush is threatening tougher economic sanctions against Sudan to end the bloodshed in Darfur. He said if the Sudanese president does not meet his obligations to stop the violence, the U.S. will act. The four-year conflict in Darfur has left 200,000 people dead and 2.5 million displaced. In a central Turkish town, three people who worked at a publishing house that distributes Bibles were killed today. This was the latest in a series of attacks against the mostly Muslim country's small Christian minority. Philippine officials say they have found the body thought to be that of missing American Peace Corps volunteer. It is believed she was murdered as her body was found in a shallow grave. And actress Kitty Carlisle Hart has died at the age of 96. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The nationwide pet food recall has now expanded as a second contaminated ingredient has been identified. Now a rice protein concentrate has been found to also contain the chemical melamine. Earlier, wheat gluten used in pet food was found to be contaminated with the substance, which is used in the manufacture of plastics. Senate Republicans today blocked a proposal that would make it legal for Medicare to negotiate lower drug prices for millions of seniors. Millions of BlackBerry users experienced more than a 10-hour disruption of their service overnight. The Canadian company that provides service to users in North America blamed an overnight outage on the technical problems that caused customers to lose access to their email on their handheld devices. A Russian last-minute electronic tax filing yesterday overloaded the TurboTax and Pro Series servers. The IRS says users will not be penalized for the delays in their electronic tax returns. And the IRS commissioner has been chosen by the American Red Cross to be its new president. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.13 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones closed at a new record high, up 31 points at 12,803. The NASDAQ was down 6 points, and the S&P 500 was up 1 point. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here it is, 6 minutes after the hour, six after six on the East Coast. I'm Bob Kincaid. We're in the middle of the week. And we'll have a great evening of cussing and discussing this evening, or my name's not Bob. Okay. Now, we're at midweek. You know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Dern tootin', that's right. It's prayer meeting edition. This humble radio studio on Wednesdays does transform itself into the Cathedral of Common Sense. I'm Brother Bob Kincaid, and communion is underway. No superstition here, no superstition industry, just common sense. It's a Joe Friday kind of cathedral, just the facts, ma'am. And that's what we'll go on this evening. Of course, it's hard not to, well, I'm not gonna start the program any other way but by going straight to the Supreme Court and the lie that was perpetrated today. The so-called the upholding of what just breathlessly excited right-wing superstition industry freaks like to call partial birth abortion a procedure that does not exist. But that's what they like to call it. But whatever it is you call it, there are any number of women whose lives are now in jeopardy because that last gone, certainly not forgotten, good-for-nothing, motherless, soulless Republican Congress passed a... what they did is they decided that they were better doctors than doctors themselves. So as a consequence, women will die in childbed. Women will die on operating tables. Women will die in the stirrups. Because you know what? The biggest abortionist in the universe is God. Because science estimates that, upwards of more than half of all pregnancies end in what is called spontaneous abortion. Some people call them miscarriages. Many women who are pregnant don't even know it. When their monthly cycle comes, and poof. Goodbye, little embryo. But some do stick, and some go wrong. And, of course, the ones that go wrong, that's either caused by a God who is powerless to stop it or a God who is so evil, so hateful, so wicked, and so sadistic as to actually let it happen. Sorry, that's the two choices. No, there's a third one, Bob. He works in mysterious ways. Kiss my ass. There's no mystery in watching a young woman die for no good reason. There's no mystery in that at all. It's just hateful. And frankly, Bill Frist, wherever the hell he is, who pushed for this ban. And the sweaty wrestler, Hyde. And the rest of the good-for-nothing, dead from the neck up, morally bankrupt, ethically bereft Republican Party. You know, they should, every last one of them should get a photograph of every woman who dies in childbed from now on. Because they're going to be responsible for some of them. Now, Nurse Agnes over here will correct me if I'm wrong. She's never been known to be shy about doing that in the past. But the so-called pro-life industry is a disgusting gang of pornographers. They like to put up billboards of aborted fetuses and so forth, miscarried fetuses. They like to make us look at ooky things and feel like, you know, you're evil. And you can tell the women who are involved in the pro-life movement, you can actually hear their underpants getting dewy when they talk about, and then the head comes out and they jam the scissors in its neck. Talking about partial birth abortion. Agnes, don't tell me they don't do that. There was congressional testimony by Right to Life women under oath before the Senate and the House of Representatives, and they got all titillated and began to get all excited and then they plunged the scissors into its neck.
Bull hockey. No, it's not done.
Sweetie, I didn't say it is or isn't. This is what these God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-conscious, Bible-centered women said under oath in front of the Republican Congress a couple of years ago.
Then they need to get off the Prozac because...
No, then they need to be prosecuted and put in prison for the filthy, rotten, stinking, dirty liars that they are.
Well, I want to see this actually take place. You know, the entire time that I was a nurse, I never saw it.
Did you see any abortions?
Yes, I did.
Did you participate in any?
Yes, I did.
So you know how they generally do it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Because, see, I hate this topic.
Oh, I don't like it either.
I loathe this
because,
topic.
Well, you know for a fact, I love babies.
Yes.
I think birth is a great thing. But I've never seen this done. Ever.
Well, if you listen to the right-wingers...
That's why they call it a saline baptism.
And the pasty-faced old white men, they will say that, they get the baby halfway out and it's beginning to cry and then they chop it up.
Okay, for one, anyone who knows anything about birth...
Oh, by the way... the Prozac users are asking you to lay the hell off the Prozac users.
Oh, it's no offense, guys. You know, we've all done Prozac. There are some people it has idiosyncratic reactions on. It's not you all. Unless you believe this. If you believe they stick scissors in a baby's neck when it's crying and it's... Do you know how far along a baby has to be to do that?
You know, I was out and about a little bit today, so I was listening to the afternoon right wing filth show out of Charleston. There's this creepy bastard named Michael Agnello who had somebody from West Virginians for Life, you know, the group that can't be bothered to feed children or clothe children or care about post-birth children. Yeah, that stinking group. This is the group that our governor goes and has dinner with every chance he gets.
Are these the people that do foster care and things like that?
Hell no.
Children
No, sorry.
Well, I mean, what do they do besides get out here and say what you can do with your body?
Really nothing. I mean, they raise a lot of money. They're millionaires.
Have these people, mainly, have any of these guys had any babies? I mean, I'm just curious.
No, because if guys had babies, abortion would be a sacrament.
And how's your kids doing? Have they had babies? Did they have premarital sex? Did they even think about it?
Stop. You're running afield, dear. You're running far afield.
I'm just curious.
Please. Well, stay on topic or we'll have to get you your OCD medication.
I know.
Or your ADD medication. Some medication. Obviously, you need medication. But Nurse Agnes has never seen...
No. That's why they call it a saline baptism. It's not nice. But I'll tell you what.
But you see, there is a medical procedure... What happens, Nurse Agnes?
Yes.
What happens when a woman has a profoundly malformed child with a huge basketball-sized head? What happens if she tries to birth it vaginally?
It'd kill her.
And what happens if you try to cesarean it?
It could kill her. I mean...
So there is an occasion where...
That the possibility of some sort of... intrauterine procedure would be done. Sure, there's always a chance something to happen.
Guess what? The mommy that has that pathetically malformed child now gets to have to vaginally birth it, thanks to the Republican Congress and the pro-life movement. And it's going to rip her hoo-hoo from here to yonder.
No,
right?
It'll kill her. You're talking about a very vascular area, and trying to do something like that when it's not feasibly possible will kill you. So they're going to take the women back to the Dark Ages, to where they go out and get the herbs to keep from being pregnant. The days of
Do you hate them, Agnes?
Do I hate them? I think it probably even goes beyond that. It's more of, why in the world would someone want to see someone else suffer? That's not a Christian way.
Oh, yes, it is.
No,
yeah,
because there
sure
are good Christians out there. Wait a minute. There are people that are of faith that know that this is all bull hockey. However, the religion industry that wants to fall back on this, they're pretty pathetic. That's not religion. That's just it's a sadistic look upon life, that maybe they're not having enough misery, but they want to share.
But do you loathe them? Do you despise them, Agnes? They want control over women. And if you pay attention to them, I forget who it was. I think it was that Ken Ham goober. From Answers in Genesis. Maybe I'm wrong, but they're all the same, really. But if you ask them, they'll tell you, you know, the biggest problem isn't abortion. The biggest problem is contraception. And what you found out today, Sunshine, what you found out today is that the war is on. And I take a dim view of the government's use of the word war. War on poverty, war on illiteracy, war on drugs, yada, 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 yada. I take a dim view of the use of that word, because that word, by its overuse, it gets demeaned, and we forget what a horror it is. So you know I'm pretty serious when I say that the war is on. Sammy Alito, John Roberts, Antonin Scalia, every last one of them answerable to Opus Dei, Oh, that sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it? It damn well better, because Opus Dei is a conspiracy against your freedom. And they are all foot-washing freaks. And they are aligned against your constitutional freedoms. Hey, guys, just because you don't have a uterus doesn't mean you don't have any interest in a right to privacy. Better wise up, because you do. This is a dark day. This is a dark day that leads to places you don't want to think about when it comes to what it used to mean to be an American. This was a 5-4 vote. This was Scalia, Thomas, Kennedy, Alito, and Roberts versus the world. They cast aside science. They cast aside your... And this is the same crowd that...
I don't want no socialized medicine because I won't be able to choose my own dang doctor.
Unless, according to these fascist bastards on the Supreme Court, you happen to be female. Then you don't get to choose a doctor at all. You get to have the baby. And even if the baby is monstrously malformed, and who likes to think about it, but by God, you better, because it's going to come knocking on your daughter's door, your granddaughter's door. It's going to come knocking on your wife's door, your girlfriend's door. If you're a little kid, your mama's door. And they all get to die because of Alito, because of Roberts, because of Thomas and Scalia and Kennedy. They get to suffer and die. You know, they don't just go, ah, and fade away. It's the agony of childbirth. And it is a tearing and a ripping asunder of the very fundament of a woman's being. You know, it makes me think of when Senator Robert Byrd said, I have received a whole bunch of real letters with real stamps on them that had coffee cup stains and donut sugar on them from people sitting around the coffee trying to talk about and telling me that they want this incivility about Samuel Alito to end. I'm going to vote for Samuel Alito because I believe he is a good Christian man and will stand up for religious freedom in America. Hey, don't get mad at me if you're a good Democrat. Oh, he's being mean to Senator Byrd. You know what? Senator Byrd earned this one. Senator Byrd, when women start dying around this country trying to give birth to monstrously malformed babies, they've got you to thank, Senator Byrd. They got you to thank. Because you said, Samuel Alito is a... got to defend our religious liberty. You know, for a man who walks around with the Constitution in his pocket, I'd have thought maybe the Constitution would have counted for something, because he might defend religious liberty as he freakishly defines it, Samuel Alito will, but he is damn sure not going to defend constitutional liberty. And the quiet way that it was like home on the range. When George Bush sent John Roberts' name to the Supreme Court, and never was heard a discouraging word. One of you gurus with the internets can look up the vote tally and remind us all. What was the final vote on Alito, and what was the final vote on Roberts? And the Senate Democrats sat there cowering in bedwetting fear that if they dared raise their voices in dissent, that the Republicans would take their beloved filibuster away. So they didn't use their filibuster. And today, just because these things do sort of work together, today the Republicans in the Senate filibustered and blocked a bill that would have allowed the government to negotiate lower prices, lower drug prices for seniors. Because their masters in the pharmaceutical industry told them to, and they said, screw you, granny. We're going to leave the prescription drug bill just like it is because our bosses in the pharmaceutical industry like it that way. And the Senate Democratic leadership said, okay, you know, we've got to understand the rights of the minority, and they don't want this. And Joe Lieberman said he'll turn into a Republican if we fight it, so this is okay. You're not going to call us liberals or nothing nasty, are you? Oh, yeah. Dark damn day. Dark day. So that's where we find ourselves at 25 minutes past the hour. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's if you need us to pay the freight. If you can make the call on your own, it's 304-658-5453. You're welcome to chime right in. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sometimes it takes balls to be a woman. Standing up to a test while wearing a party dress. Sometimes love can be deceiving. We're not quietly overachieving. Oh, sometimes it takes balls to be a woman. She's a socialite, a decent house.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women at the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, one-third of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
Well, she seemed all right by dawn's early light, though she looked a little worried and weak. She tried to pretend he wasn't drinking again, but Daddy left the proof on her cheek. I was only 8 years old that summer, and I always seemed to be in the way. So I took myself down to the fair.
America, I'm Sean Hannity. I've got this pathetic nasal voice, and there's no reason under the sun that I should be allowed behind a microphone. But God bless America. Let freedom ring. Women's woo-woos are under control again. Praise Jesus. Oh, Lordy. Okay. Yes, Agnes.
All right, Bob. I'm beginning to get nauseous. Okay.
That, well, I'm sorry. My Sean Hannity impression is rusty. It's not even rusty. That was a newborn Sean Hannity impression. All I know is he's nasally and has no business behind a microphone.
That's right. Everyone, email Bob. Tell him not to do Sean Hannity. It causes.
No, see, they already pick on me for my singing. They didn't like my rapping the other night.
I didn't either. I'm there with you all. I try to control.
I mean,
it a
pretty
little
soon.
Bit,
yeah, I know what's going on here. You're just trying to run me off the air to take over the show. I know.
I'm only good in a pinch, dear.
Oh, you're good in a pinch.
I'm just a girl. I couldn't do your job.
Dumb old girl cousin.
Yeah, he's not going to sleep tonight, guys.
Lord, it's embarrassing. Sometimes it is. Honest to Jesus, it's embarrassing to be an American. This is one of those days when a bunch of guys who get all squeamish if, well, you know, I'm so squeamish. Guys, you know, talking together, we don't talk about girl stuff. And yet they can sit there and gin up a bunch of filthy lies about a medical procedure. God, 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 God. Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Help me, Susan.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. I worry when you laugh like that.
Well, okay, if there is any justice in the word karma, Senator Byrd will come back. Not only as a woman, but as a black woman, a very young black woman
who has no access to contraception.
Looks that are funny.
Yeah. See, I would be perfectly happy if Tom DeLay, Bill Frist, George Bush, and every pasty-faced, doughy white guy in the so-called pro-life movement woke up tomorrow with their equipment exchanged for a different set.
Yeah. Now, if I can find it, you know, the whole basis of this thing, of this ruling, is a profound hatred of women.
Yes.
They hide it, but they hate them. It goes all the way back to Middle Ages. I wouldn't be surprised if it won't be too long before they start mandating that newly delivered women have to have a combination of dirt and pig's dung shoved up into their birth canal.
Yeah, because that was a medical procedure some centuries back, was it not?
You could call it that, I guess. Most of them died.
Well, they had demons. The priest made it clear they died because they were sinners and had demons.
What always got me is, according to the church, from the time a woman knew she was pregnant, she was considered unclean. She couldn't go into the church.
Right.
Until after she underwent a purification ceremony after the birth of the child. She had to wait longer to get this purification ceremony done if she had a girl. Apparently, that was considered ickier.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, now, I don't know where these guys studied, but somebody ought to sit them down. And if I can find it, I know it's on the web, but if I can find it, I'm going to post a really graphic description of a woman dying in childbirth. It ain't pretty, and it's long.
Well, do we really want to do that, Susan? Why? Because these filthy bastards on the other side are fond of putting up billboards of fetuses. I mean, are we...
No, this is all printed words. This is no pictures, nothing like that. This is a verbal... This is a description of what this woman went through in the... I think it was the Napoleonic era. Let me put it this way. It took her about 5 days...
To die horribly.
She yelled a lot. And she yelled a lot. She didn't have much... She didn't have a voice. And it was a blessing by the time she finally did die.
Yeah.
And this is what these guys condemned their female relatives. Of course, it won't be their female relatives because there won't be a problem. They'll just ship them out to Europe and have the procedure done.
Canada, Mexico, you know, maybe get a little R&R, a little trip to the beach after the medical procedure. Yeah, no.
Exactly.
Right, because, you know, and make no mistake, just to use an example, if one of the Bush twins had gotten with child.
Oh, she's already done that. She already had at least one abortion.
Okay. You're ahead of me then.
I have a friend who lives near Crawford. Crawford is a very small town. Word gets around.
My God. Just makes me want to scream.
I know. It's, you know, it's no problem.
And see, the reason that they were able to get around this, the fascists of the GOP inserted language in the law that said that Congress found the procedure to be gruesome, inhumane, and never medically necessary to preserve a woman's health, thereby assaulting a previous line of cases out of the Supreme Court.
Did they ever talk to any doctors, I wonder? I really doubt it.
Oh, on the Republican side? It depends.
Unless it was Frist.
No, well, it depends on what you mean by doctor. If you mean a doctor of divinity like Falwell or Robertson or one of them, I'm sure they consulted lots of doctors.
Yeah, but in any OBGYNs, nah.
Well, those are demonic secular humanists, Susan, and they actually think women are people.
like I said, I sincerely hope these guys come back as poor black women. Or poor illegal aliens.
You'd like for that, you know, you'd like for that, but that's so frustrating. It provides a split second panacea, Susan, but the fact of the matter is, we don't know what happens.
No,
and to rely on some sort of karmic justice is very frustrating, because I don't want to visit punishment on anybody.
Well, I
want them to quit. I want them to quit punishing the living.
Yeah, but right now it keeps me from going out and doing something stupid.
Well, I can okay.
Yeah, right now that's what I want to do. I want to go out and commit something, do something stupid, but the thought of karma doing it for me, okay, I'll settle for that right now. In the meantime, I'm going to find out all those nice people who voted for these justices.
You know, the least we can do is send them a thank you letter.
Yeah.
We can send a thank you letter to Senator Byrd and, you know, never mind the Republicans. We expected them to do what Republicans do. But the Democrats who got in line and, like little sheep, little terrified sheep, little bleeding lambs on the way to the slaughter,
exactly,
voted for the John Roberts and Samuel Alito, we need to send them a thank you letter. Thousands of them.
And if I can manage it, I'm going to include every gory detail I can dig up and say, this is what you have condemned the women of America to. You're a peach. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Gotta wonder how
you haven't condemned me to it, but you may have condemned my daughter for it, to it.
Yeah. Or our brand new granddaughter, who knows?
Yeah. And it's just,
it kind of changes your perspective a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've got a granddaughter, too, and I'm just, you know, she's in school, and I'm thinking it won't be too many years before she's in that position. And I keep thinking, oh, can we leave this country, please?
Well, it's...
I got to tell you, Bob, whatever we seem to be doing, no matter how much we work, no matter how hard we work, we don't seem to be getting much done.
Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it's very frustrating.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to let you go before I depress everybody.
Okay, thank you, Susan. I appreciate it. I appreciate your thoughts. I really do.
Yeah, well, I really, really hope that we can manage to boot him some out of office before he has a chance to appoint another justice.
Freak.
Message to
he's
justice.
He's got it done now. This was Susan, I know you want to get off the phone, but quick,
yeah.
Understand what today's ruling means. This was a signal, okay? This was a great big bonfire on a hill and the blanket on the fire and big puffs of smoke going up into the sky to the right wing superstition industry Nazis that it's okay, we're going to do your bidding. It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter if Hillary gets elected president. We're going to take control back over women's reproductive processes, okay? This isn't just an assault on Roe, but they're going after Roe next. This was proof. This was test case, Susan. They got their five. You've got Kennedy, you've got Alito, you've got Edwards, you got Thomas.
Yeah. And
you got Scalia, the freak among the freaks.
Yeah. Oh.
They've got their five votes. The hogs.
The lightning when you need one.
The hogs are in the tunnel, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And you, but please understand what comes next. It'll be a full frontal assault on Roe that nobody in America can do anything about because these bastards serve for life.
Yep.
Bush doesn't need another appointment now.
Nope.
It's done.
Hey, guys, pray for divine intervention. A nice lightning bolt. It's not a threat if you pray for divine intervention.
Well, look, I mean, Ann Coulter goes out and suggests that somebody put rat poison in Justice Stevens' creme brulee, and she's walking the streets free.
Yeah. Well, you see, she's a sleeper. She seemed to get away with that. We can't. But it's not a threat. If you just pray to whichever God you believe in to leave a nice greasy spot where they happen to be.
Boy, wouldn't that be a greasy spot where Scalia is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a nice puddle of it. You've used it for powering your car.
No, I'm not going to take it any further, or I'll be accused of being a hate radio person. Thank you, Susan.
There are times, though. There are times.
No, there are. You know, it's like they say in the military, they can't bust you for thinking.
Yeah. Thought bubbles all over the place.
Take care.
You have a nice night.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Grandpa.
Yeah. Rub it in. Yeah, I kid, you know. But, no, he's got his five. Do you understand that they were doing the happy dance? 2 days after a massacre in Blacksburg, Virginia, they were doing the happy dance in the White House today. I'll bet you James Dobson even called personally to tell George Bush he was a good, good boy for setting the court up that way. And see, that's the point. Alito and Roberts... Those two freaks are babies where it comes to the Supreme Court. They're in their early 50s. They'll be there for 40 more years, screwing up America at every turn. Justice Stevens is so old he farts dust. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, bless her heart, is ancient. Breyer, Souter, don't much matter. They are lone voices crying in the wilderness. God. I mean, I can't begin to tell you what's going to get overturned in the next 40 years. I know that Griswold versus Connecticut is on the chopping block. Fellas, if you've got sons and you want to teach them to be responsible, you better buy up the condoms now. Ladies, you know the Seinfeld episode where Elaine buys the last of the sponges and has to check to see if it determine whether a guy is sponge-worthy? That. I'm not kidding. I'm not over the top. This isn't hyperbole. These freaks are after the very freedoms that we hold most dear, and among those is the right to be left the hell alone and government stay out of our bedrooms, out of our beds, and out of our medicine cabinets. Oh, Lord, our buddy Lottie in the chat room has posted the statement of James Dobson. We thank God that the Supreme Court has affirmed the value of human life by banning the Nazi-esque barbarism that is partial birth abortion. A majority of justices have recognized what most Americans have long known. There is no constitutional right to slay a healthy, nearly born baby by stabbing it in the back of the head. And listen, Agnes, by stabbing it in the back of the head and vacuuming out its brains, all without anesthetizing the child. At this point, isn't the anesthetizing of the child a little bit superfluous, Dobson, you godforsaken monster? See, Susan wants people like Dobson to come back as a poor woman. I don't want Dobson to come back. I want Dobson to die and go to the hell that he imagined exists. But better than that, I want Dobson, since he's concerned about pro-life and assaults on mother and child, I want Dobson to be taken to a market in Baghdad in his Western-style three-piece suit and be left there to defecate himself as the people whose murder, whose family's destruction he has actively advocated, come to take their just revenge.
Wait a minute. James Dobson?
Yeah.
This is the same man that perpetrates child abuse?
No, this is the same man who tells grown men to get in the showers with their sons and show them their Johnsons to keep them from catching a bad case of the homosexual.
But to spank your child until they cry real tears.
Yes, that guy.
And he's pro-life.
Yeah.
So he can beat on more children?
Well, he's all for the nearly born. But you heard it. You heard it. I got it right there. You said, no, they don't. No, they don't. Nearly born baby by stabbing it in the back of the head and vacuuming out its brains.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. They must have hospitals for that in their own sex that they do that.
Well, no, I think that was done to Dobson at the time he was being born because he's clearly had his brains vacuumed out.
No.
Let's go to the phones. Alan is calling. Alan, welcome to the program.
Yes, it seems like all these Supreme Court justices are put into in their position because of these voting machines. They were put in because of the senators and the voting machines, and the president was put into office the first time because of the Supreme Court justices selected them.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the whole government is illegal. It seems like this is a time for major change, according to Thomas Jefferson. This is one of those times.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Oh, I know. It's just really bad.
I saw an email from sometimes I get included, Alan, in email lists, and you know how it is when you hit reply to all, and whoever the list got sent to, you get copied in. I got an email earlier today from a fella who said, nothing's going to change. Here it is. He says, our only political representation rests with those few who will stand to deny any military funding beyond transportation home for our soldiers. All else is vicious. He says, He says, I'll go to Washington and camp on the Mall for however long it takes, but one person will not be heard, nor will one person command the necessary media attention to capture the conscience of the world, nor will several hundred thousand over a mere weekend. It will take a million of us, and we must stay in place weeks, months, however long it takes. And then he says, let me know when the other 999,999 of you are ready.
Yeah, and we could blame the media, too, for all this crap that's happening. I'd like to say that I remember talking to another trucker about a couple of years ago, and this guy is one of those guys who believes that this should be a Christian theocracy. This guy, he can hardly pay his bills, but he wants this to be a Christian theocracy. Now, who's going to pay for these malformed children being forced to being born? Who's going to have to pay for the upkeep of these children?
And, well, Alan, they get to go starve.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, the Dobsons and the right-to-lifers of the world, it's already been well established. They don't give a tinker's damn about what happens to a child after it's born. They're not pro-life. They're pro-fetus.
Yeah, they just believe in the Bible according to the letter of the law, and they think there's going to be a God that's going to come and save us just right in the nick of time or something. It's just a weird belief. Their way of looking at religion. I'm from Alabama, and I thought Alabama was really a religious state until I started driving a truck, and it seems like in Missouri, it's like every other billboard, something about religion or anti-abortion or something like that. Gee, I can't even believe it. Believe how the whole country's gotten to be. I hope that's just a minority putting those billboards up. I think they're just the ones with the biggest mouth, I hope.
Well, you go around the country, don't you? I mean, you're a trucker.
Yeah, I take about three-fourths of the country.
You tell me. I mean, is it isolated to the rural South?
Yeah, I've always thought the rural South was a real religious place until I started going to the Missouri, and it seems like that's a really religious, dogmatic type of a place. according to all the billboards I see through there.
See, these people have the bit in their teeth, Alan. And
yeah.
They think it's theirs to take now. They were on the ropes, and this Supreme Court decision is going to energize them and reinvigorate them and push them on to greater acts of madness and inhumanity.
Yeah, it's making us wake up too.
I hope so. I hope so. Because again, what's got to be remembered is that this is an incremental process. What starts with an attack on a woman's right to control her own body ends up with the government's right to tell you how to have sex, how not to have sex, you know, where you can live, how you can live.
Yeah. It's all about control. It's just they don't want to look at the big picture when it comes to religion. Like, it's just mythology, and it's just it's about how you live your own personal life, and they don't believe in democracy. It's just cramming it down your throat. I appreciate you listening to me.
It's terrifying, Alan. It truly is. Well, call in any time. You stay safe out on the road, you hear?
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye now.
Yeah, bye.
Our buddy Alan, the liberal trucker. Don't hear from Alan a lot. Like to hear from him more. Always has something good to say. And see, it's folks like Alan who are seeing the country 1 mile at a time, who can tell you what kind of progress these freaks are making. And they are out for blood, and it's your blood they're out for, because at the end of the day, they are all of them part of either the Christian Dominionist movement or the Christian Reconstructionist movement. And the Reconstructionists are really dangerous. They believe in stoning people. The one of their ideological leaders says he wants to do stonings because, and I quote, there are lots of rocks. We're coming up on the top of the hour. I look forward to more of your phone calls as we proceed into the second hour of the program. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, if you want to do it on our nickel, 304-658-5453, if you can carry the freight. And coming in from our pal Marty, breaking news from MSNBC, KSDK-TV reports at least two people shot at the University of Missouri. What the hell? This is America's liberal voice. This is your First Amendment in action. Use it while you've still got it before Alito and Edwards and Scalia and Thomas and Kennedy take it the hell away. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Every day. This is the Quality News Network. More information is coming out about the gunman in the Virginia Tech campus shooting, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. At a press conference this afternoon, police revealed 23-year-old Cho Sung-hui had sent NBC News a package that they received this morning. It includes writings and pictures. Investigators are now examining that correspondence. In 2005, Cho had been taken to a mental health facility following concerns that he was suicidal. Police were also called after he stalked two female students. However, no charges were filed against him. Cho killed 32 people and himself in the rampage Monday. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld a nationwide ban on a rare, controversial late-term abortion procedure. Today's 5-4 decision is seen as a victory for anti-abortion forces. Critics of the ruling call it backpedaling on abortion rights established 30 years ago. At the White House, President Bush met with a bipartisan group of lawmakers for more than an hour today to try to reconcile key differences in the funding bill for the Iraq War. However, they failed to reach an agreement. Four large bomb blasts killed at least 183 people in mostly Shiite areas of Baghdad. The worst attack targeted a crowded marketplace. In response, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki ordered the arrest of the Iraqi colonel in charge of security in that area. This was the deadliest day in the capital city since the U.S. security crackdown began 2 months ago. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who is in Israel, says the military had expected al-Qaeda terrorists and other insurgents to step up the violence, just to make the Iraqis believe the security plan had failed. In a central Turkish town, attackers killed three people who worked at a publishing house that distributes Bibles. This is just the latest in a series of attacks against the Christian minority in the mostly Muslim country. Philippine officials say they have found a body thought to be that of a missing American Peace Corps volunteer, 40-year-old Julia Campbell. Murder suspected because the body was found buried in a shallow grave. Actress and arts advocate Kitty Carlisle Hart has died at the age of 96. Her career included Broadway, opera, television, and film performances. She was in A Night at the Opera in the 1935 classic Marx Brothers movie. You're listening to Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
The nationwide pet food recall is now expanded because the chemical contaminant melamine has now been found in rice protein concentrate. Earlier, the plastics manufacturing chemical was found in wheat gluten used in pet foods. BlackBerry users have service back now after millions were cut off from their emails for more than 10 hours overnight. The Canadian company that provides service to users in North America blamed an overnight outage for the technical problems with the handheld devices. A rush in last-minute electronic tax filing yesterday overloaded the TurboTax and ProSeries servers. The IRS says users will not be penalized for the delays in the electronic tax returns. The IRS is giving taxpayers in the Northeast affected by a powerful two-day storm a one-week extension to file their tax returns. Those who are affected are instructed to write April 16 storm on their paper returns, while electronic filers can choose their software's disaster feature. The IRS Commissioner Mark Evans has been chosen by the American Red Cross to be its new president. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.30 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow closed at a new all-time high, up 31 points, ending at 12,804. The NASDAQ closed down 6, the S&P
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, you guys want to have some fun? You want to punk a right-winger? Here's one for you. You know, I tell you, I get these right-wing solicitations all the time. Well, one of these right-wing PR flacks screwed up and actually sent out over the internets that series of tubes. I'm going right back to the phones, but first the fun part. I got this pitch for What Drives a Man to Massacre So Many, featuring Dr. Deborah. Okay? Dr. Deborah Mandel is the author of two books, Healing the Sensitive Heart, How to Stop Getting Hurt, Build Your Inner Strength, and Find the Love You Deserve, and Your Boss is Not Your Mother. She has two CDs, The Abuser-Friendly Syndrome and Creating Healthy Boundaries in the Workplace. She's been on Glenn Beck. She's been on O'Reilly, the early show on and CNN. And, of course, she's a right-wing freak. Now, it turns out, okay, you gotta pay attention here. You get yourself a piece of paper and a pencil, or you know, the really high-tech types can just open up Notepad or something and type the stuff in as I tell you. Dr. Deborah is going to opine here soon on a radio station about the Virginia Tech massacre. And of course, she's not going to say that the fact that you can buy a gun as easy as a gumball had anything to do with it. No, according to Dr. Deborah says, we may expect this kind of heinous activity in a war zone, but we can't even fathom such atrocities in human behavior in a place where we expect to be able to focus on education and expanding our creativity. This man is seriously disturbed. While we'll never know exactly what drove him to such violence, I can speculate that he may suffer from a severe mental disorder. Duh! You think? E.g., psychosis, obsessive-compulsive delusional disorder, or impulse disorder. And or years of... this is how I know she's a right-wing freak. And or years and years of cultivating a victim mentality where he feels increasingly more wronged by society or his peers and feels more and more entitled to his rage and desire to seek revenge. Beneath his veneer, he probably felt extremely small and insignificant, and he wanted to make a grand statement of importance, then believing he demonstrated the ultimate strength by being a martyr and shooting himself. Sound like a freak to you? Well, okay, here's the fun part. Dr. Deborah is going to be on FM 100.3 WNOX in Knoxville, Tennessee, tomorrow, April 19th, at 3:35 p.m. to 3:55 p.m. Okay? The name of the show is The Phil Show with Phil Williams. Boy, there's some creativity. Your name's Phil, okay, we're going to call it The Phil Show. So between 3:35 and 3:55 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 2:35 Central, 1:35 Mountain, and 12:35 Pacific. He's going to be on The Phil Show, and maybe they'll take calls. Their studio line at WNOX, The Phil Show. Hi, I'm Phil Williams. The Phil Show can be reached at 865, write it down, 865-909-9424. The producer's name is Dave. Hi, Dave. Maybe you can get it. Wouldn't it be fun to keep the wingnuts from diverting attention from the real cause of this massacre and ask Dr. Deborah whether or not massacres on campus have anything to do with the fact that you can get a gun more easily than you can get birth control in this country. Wouldn't that be fun? Want to do that? Here's your chance. Here's your chance to screw with the right wing. I know you're in a mood to mess with their heads. Here's your opportunity. This was a mistake, see. The PR flack sent out a global email to everybody who receives his emails and said, you know, disregard that. That was a booking. I don't know. Does WNOX FM 100.3 stream? Yes, Agnes.
This was just an info just for you all. A 411. He's not encouraging you to call and...
Yes, I am.
The lines. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, he's not.
Yes, I am. There's nothing illegal in this. I'm telling them about a guest who's been booked on a radio show.
Yes, you're encouraging people to speak their minds.
Exactly.
There you go.
Hi, Dr. Deborah. I just wanted to know if you think guns played any part in this massacre. I mean, you know, you don't have to. I'm not telling you what to do, but I think it'd be kind of funny, don't you? These people, I'm not asking you to tell her that her mother dresses her funny or anything. Just assault, just call into account or call for accountability on the freakishness of her assertion that this man was a perpetual victim. He was a killer. He was a killer who had easy and ready access to the firearms that made it easier for him to kill. Dr. Deborah, I was wondering, do you think he would have killed 32 people if he couldn't get those guns and those bullets so easily? Do you think he would, Dr. Deborah, would he have killed 32 people if all he'd had was a hammer or a ball bat or a knife or a machete? You think somebody could have overpowered him with a ball if he had a ball bat or a knife or a hammer or a machete? Do you think? Do you think, Dr. Deborah? Okay, let's go back to the phones. Rick is calling in. So good to hear from you.
Hello.
You know, I sort of conjured you last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was doing my best to keep quiet because I was so afraid that maybe a family member may have be listening in, and I really did not want anything to sound as futile.
Mm-hmm.
As the death of these people turned out to be, and as preventable as it could have been. But after hearing your dear little lady there, her little statement, I blew it. I'm sorry. My gas is gone.
I can conjure.
This is just completely ridiculous. But let's just start with the simple stuff. Number one, during wars, murders go up, suicides go down. Statistically, that way. Murders go up, suicides go down. We have three wars going.
So murders are going to go up?
Murders are going to go up.
By a factor of three?
Looks like it's starting to. 33 instead of 11. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing that anybody would let any of this stuff slip past them. This guy has over and over shown this is where he was going.
Well, now we're finding out, Rick, and by the way, let me back up. This is our good buddy Rick Goodner from Texas, the Horn resident psychologist. It turns out, Rick...
Who has blown a gasket?
Okay. It turns out this guy was even writing to NBC News.
Yeah. It's all there. I mean, it's just give me the three things one at a time that she said.
Let's see. He may suffer from a severe mental disorder, psychosis, obsessive compulsive delusional disorder, or impulse disorder.
Okay, obsessive compulsive is not a severe mental disorder. The others are. Guess what? Part of it is you got positive symptoms, which is the actual delusions. The visions, the psychosis that has to do with hallucinations and such.
Son of Sam kind of stuff.
Right. The second part of it now has to do with negative symptoms. Inability to put together plans. is one of them. Inability to carry out tasks is another. This was well thought out, well put together, well executed. I'm sorry for that word. That was not meant.
It's used clinically.
This guy is not psychotic. This guy is evil. Yes, he wanted... I'll go ahead and hit the second one. I think I can tie that in.
Okay. Let's see. Psychosis, obsessive-compulsive, delusional disorder, or impulse disorder?
No. If he had an impulse disorder, how in the world could he put all this stuff together? How could he have...
He couldn't have gotten out of the room without washing his hands.
Well, he would, to begin with, yes. Another thing, he would not have planned ahead. Impulse disorder.
Oh, that's like, do it now, do it now, do it now.
Do it now. Impulse, no control.
But this guy was writing plays where the characters were chasing each other with live chainsaws.
Absolutely.
A year before.
Yes. But he has no impulse. He could not control those horrible, liberal, implanted thoughts. Sorry.
Okay. No. See, I know that that's what's going to go down between the hours of 3:35 and 3:55 on WNOX 100.3 FM on The Phil Show tomorrow.
And everybody knows that if everybody had a gun in school, none of that would have happened.
Well, what about this business of years and years of cultivating a victim mentality where he feels increasingly more wronged by society or his peers and feels more and more entitled to his rage and desire to seek revenge?
Let me put that in real easy. What group of people do we have in America who really feel that they're being victimized by liberals and feel that the government is controlling their lives? Who's feeding them that? Rush Limbaugh.
Fox News.
They make this victim mentality where someone has a right to strike out in anger, either with their fists, the guns, whatever. You don't get that from liberal.
No, see, what they say, though, Rick, and you know this as well as I do, is that victim mentality, you know, we live in a victim society, and usually it goes with goes along with the phrase lawsuit-happy society.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Liberals do not go through life thinking that we are victimized. To begin with, if you took that little test I sent you,
mm-hmm.
you would know that liberals, according to the Pew, and the best research except for the Zosby, of course, the Pew report shows that there are more liberals proportionately than any of the other nine groups. Why do we feel victimized? We don't feel victimized. So why would we try to feed that into other people? That's garbage. Pure right-wing garbage. And that's what Rush Limbaugh, that's what Beck, that's what all these idiots have been putting out all the time. That we are there making victims out of people. They are the ones who are making victims. They're making people who may be a bit paranoid, even more paranoid. Those liberals are out to get you. The right-wing news media is out to get you. The vast Jewish conspiracy is out to get you. You hear that constantly. They're the ones who are trying to convince everybody they're a victim. They're a victim of rationality.
Well, and they're trying to convince, because let's face it, right wing media and right wing hate radio, its demographic, Rick, is almost exclusively middle aged white males.
Right.
Okay.
And one thing that I've found when someone walks in here, and they have a paranoid personality disorder or even delusional disorder, invariably they listen to Rush, they watch Fox. And they watch Beck, and they listen to all the other stuff. Invariably, you never see... I can't say that definitively. In 33 years, I've never seen a person with a paranoid delusional disorder who listens to liberal talk radio.
Could that... Well, to be fair, statistically fair, Rick, could that have to do with the paucity of liberal talk radio that's out there?
It could be.
I've never
met a liberal in any other form either, as far as having a delusion, having a paranoid disorder. You don't find very many liberals.
But that makes perfect sense to me, Rick, because You know, listen to any liberal out there, even Alan Combs. Listen to Air America, Nova M. Listen to The Horn. Listen to Bill Press, Stephanie Miller, Mike Malloy. You know, and
brother, keep going.
Yeah. you're not gonna get that kind of
visceral
fodder out of them. On the other hand, if you're a middle-aged white male who feels pressed in and put down,
brown people coming around,
brown people and Mexicans, all the Mexicans and the women. And you're going to listen to Rush, and you're going to listen to O'Reilly, and you're going to listen to Hannity and Savage, and they're going to tell you that there are problems in America, and that the problems in America are black people's fault, or women's faults, or Mexicans' faults. You know,
the government who are taking care of these people instead of them.
Right.
It just really irritates me that they can get away with this, and they do it constantly. I'm just so happy to find out that their demographics are all dying off of old age.
Yeah, what's O'Reilly's demographics right now? Something like 72 years old is the median age of an O'Reilly viewer?
Yeah, 70-something years old. I love it. Just keep it going.
Does that mean that mean is dying out in America, or does that just mean that we're waiting for the next wave, Rick?
You have to wait for the next generation. I don't think it's going to be a next wave of mean unless something has really changed. This is the last part, the ones that are dying out now. These are the last ones who are left over from the super scary Cold War thing.
And the John Birch Society and the Lyndon LaRouchers and yeah.
They were the younger ones who were getting in the middle of that at that time. I really believe it's going to die out. And I actually believe that our kids are going to be more liberal than we are. For one thing, I didn't grow up around black people.
Yeah.
My kids did. Now, was it my choice? No, it just didn't happen.
It was the way society was structured, sure.
Yeah, that was society. But anyway, if they want to talk about people who are building a victim mentality, it is Bright Wing Radio. And everybody who tunes into that and believes the garbage are trying to make victims of them. Because I did an entire paragraph in that one book, and I know you don't even have to mention it. I'm not trying for a plug.
That's okay.
In that one book about people
Fox syndrome.
Who must be victims.
Yeah.
They're, you know, autogenic victimhood. Well, I guess this is mediagenic victimhood. Either making themselves victims or allowing somebody else to allow them to be victims. And it doesn't come from the liberal side.
Well, within the structure of the right wing, Rick, let's see if I can make this coherent, because it's a struggle. Because,
oh, I'm incoherent today. I told you I blew a gasket. It's okay.
But what you see here, there's something deeper here. But these PR flack pieces go out and they tell right wing hosts who aren't that bright in the first place. Okay.
True.
What it is that, and I see it all the time. You get flyers for books and they come with questions to ask the author because the little right wing host is too lazy, dumb, or stupid to read the book for him or herself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But by suggesting this, you know, so what we've got here from Dr. Deborah, and interestingly, I'm looking at her bio stuff down here, and they won't tell me what she's a doctor of.
Good old Deb.
But, you know, okay, it's because he's a psychotic. It's because he's obsessive-compulsive. It's because he's delusional. It's because he's got impulse disorder. It's because he's made himself a victim in this liberal culture. Maybe he didn't go to church enough. Is there a psychological diagnosis, Rick, for when the answer to the problem, i.e. easy access to high-capacity handguns, is right there in front of your face,
mm-hmm.
and you look at everything else? I mean, is there an axis diagnosis for that?
Well, it's the one that I made up. It doesn't really exist, but it's one I made up.
Okay.
0.666, evil personality disorder. The person is just flat evil. He wants the glory of the moment, and that comes to the other one, I think she said that he wanted to be a martyr.
Yep.
The hell if he wants... Oh, sorry, forgive me.
That's okay. That's
he
it.
Doesn't you want can... to be a martyr. He wants to be Mr. Powerful and Mr. Control. He would not even allow the cop to shoot him and kill him. He wore a bulletproof vest. He had to go out under his own control. A martyr would have at least stripped down naked and let the cop shoot him.
Yeah, that's suicide by cop.
Right. He wasn't a martyr. He was going for the power.
But see, he's not a white American, so to speak. So they've got to make the tie-in to his foreignness. And martyr is code for foreigner. And it's even broader code for Muslim.
Yes.
A terrorist, sure. And of course, you know, it wasn't long yesterday before we found out that he had written in red ink on his arm Ismail, Ismail, AX. Well, I did a little digging yesterday.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Well, there was.
That's Jewish.
No, it's Gelenbev or Gelenbelev Ismail was a mathematician of the 18th century who was an expert for the Turkish military in ballistics.
That just has to do with guns. It has nothing to do with Islam.
Bingo. But
I'm not saying that Islam is.
No. But the thing is, the news report that I found that in said experts are still trying to figure out what that means.
And how long did it take you?
It took me maybe 2.5 minutes on the Google.
Amazing, isn't it?
And AX is so the math people can tell me once I get this wrong, because I will. It's some sort of a polynomial notation.
Okay, is that or AX? Could that be a graph point?
Yeah, it has something to do with the quadratic equation, if I recall correctly.
Okay, yeah.
So this guy was all geeked
my
out.
My statistics is coming back to me. It's been years since I've had one of those classes.
But you spent years suppressing it. I understand, Rick.
That's what they're going to try to set this on. They're going to try to bring it away. And yes, he is a Chinese, but he is, you know, he's been raised American. And we don't know who he's been talking to. We don't know what shows he's been listening to. Why in the name of God are they out there trying to pin this guy down as a product of liberal society?
Why are they trying to pin this guy down, except for the fact that this is easier than moving on and doing real journalism, Rick. This is easier than talking about the. It's you know how much media coverage do you think now that Alberto Gonzalez's testimony tomorrow in the Hill is going to get? How much coverage is the fact that Dennis Kucinich, blessed may he be by whom or whatever, the fact that he is introducing articles of impeachment against the House in the House next week against Dick Cheney. How much coverage is that going to get? Instead, we're going to find out what this kid was listening to.
Yeah, and what he had on his arm. And because it was in red ink, he's obviously a...
reference to blood. Thing. Yeah, he's a commie.
Yeah, he has to be a commie. Well, he comes from communist China.
They were Korean.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, maybe this
first
has something
all,
to do with Pyongyang.
First of all, he was Chinese. Then he was Korean. See how the progression went? Let's get the most evil first. Let's send him to communism. And then we'll bring it in. Oh, wait, we can't say North Korea? Okay, we'll just go ahead and say Korea. I only once heard South Korea. He was a Korean, he was from Korea, over and over I've heard. Now, maybe other people have heard.
You know, and I even heard where the Korean embassy offered condolences. It wasn't it wasn't the Korean government's fault.
No, it wasn't. It was the fact that he could go down and buy a gun with a credit card, max out his credit card, and wait until I got paid up, and then go get another gun and max it out. I am not against guns. I have a concealed handgun license. I have more guns than a Maldinger on Thursday morning. And don't try to figure out what that is.
No, but I figure that's part of the Texas entrance exam.
Yeah. But I guarantee you, this isn't anything except that he had the means. If he didn't have free access, you're right. If he wanted prescriptions for something, he had to go see a doctor. No one has to see a doctor before they get a gun. No one has to see somebody to say, wait, let's really go through the records. Here in Texas, they say that they check to see if you've ever had mental problems. They don't. They check the records of the state hospital system, which only takes in about 10% of the mentally ill people in Texas.
Because of, well, funding, and that's a whole other conversation.
Right, and plus the rest of them, either they go to private treatment or no treatment, or just regular doctors. So when you get a gun, you're not checked. You're not checked at all. I have no problem with waiting a month, 2 months, even a year, if I decide I want to add another one to my collection. It wouldn't bother me in the least, as long as I know that my next-door neighbor is going through the same thing. And, you know, they missed the whole thing. He was a nice, quiet young man. Well, my God, my neighbor is a nice, quiet young man, so I went and shot him. I was afraid he might kill me.
Well, now, see...
It's a joke.
No, Rick, it's not a joke. Because out of the press release that I found on the NRA website, this is Columbine and now Virginia Tech. They both happened at the same time as the NRA national meeting. And their press release from this past Sunday said that, you know, their next step is to push for what they like to call castle doctrine laws in all 50 states. Now, the castle doctrine, in its most understood manifestation, says that a man's home is his castle, and if an intruder comes in, you can stand and blaze.
Right.
All right.
We got it.
But that's not what the NRA means.
Mm-hmm.
They mean laws like they've got in Florida, where if a homeless dude makes you nervous, you can waste him.
Right.
Wherever you are. Downtown, uptown, in town, out of town, in the swamp, out of the swamp. Yeah. Waste
and,
him.
All you have to do is say that he scared me. How wonderful is that?
And they're pushing for that in all 50 states. So, you know, you started out, well, you know, my neighbor is a quiet guy, so I blew him away. Guess what?
Sorry.
The NRA wants to make that happen, Rick.
Make it legal. Here he is. He's a nice, quiet guy. That's obviously a mass murderer or a serial killer, because they're all nice, quiet guys. So let's just go ahead and waste them.
Does that mean everywhere, once we get the castle doctrine here in West Virginia, does that mean everywhere I go I have to sort of run screaming down the sidewalk, lest I be mistaken for a nice, quiet loner?
You better act like a madman, and a madder the better.
God.
This is just so sad. It's
heartrending, and I got another story this evening that makes things even more sort of disgusting. But let me ask you another thing, because when I was conjuring you last night, I mentioned the fact that it was said that this young man was referred for mental health services, but it was in talking to you and reading some of the stuff that you have written that I found out what the real first line of defense is, the boots on the ground as far as counseling and psychological therapy and things like that. The people who come out and do that, the people that don't even have a master's degree yet, how much are those folks making?
Here in Texas, they made a law, and they gave them a nice little title called a Qualified Mental Health Professional, QMHP. That person makes $15,000 a year with only a high school diploma. That's it. They are doing mental. Well, look, we got one person here, and I hope the heck nobody hears this. We've got
get under
one.
The desk, Rick.
We have one here who works for the local mental health, mental retardation association,
mm-hmm.
who is crazy as a bedbug.
Now, is that a psychological term, crazy as a bedbug?
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's one I use quite often.
That's Axis 1 point question mark 36.
I do my best to use that as often as possible, or just plain cuckoo.
Yeah.
But this person, I have my patients come in and saying, look, I'm spending my time counseling with her, trying to help her out of her problem. And her solution to every single problem with every psychotic she has on her thing with
No. She gets to treat psychotics?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, glory.
With prayer.
Ouch.
They're going to exorcise the demon. This woman has been reported.
Demons? Demons, Rick?
Demons. Mm. going to exercise them. I guess it'll be squat presses. I don't know.
Jumping jacks, everyone. Beelzebub, over there. I see you. You're laying down on the job.
But this is a
Oh, I'm sorry,
person.
Rick.
She really exists. She is really working with very vulnerable, ill people and the state to keep themselves from paying money out will pay her $15,000 a year to go out and see these very sick people and make sure that they are safe from society. Because believe me, mentally ill people have more to fear from society than society does from them.
Well, there now, there's a profound one. You're just you're just full of pearls tonight.
I'm sorry. I told you I blew a gasket.
That's okay, Rick. So let's assume that this person gets a college degree, and you know takes the next step up. They're still going to be making maybe a little bit less than a manager at a Taco Bell, right?
Yeah, definitely. Let's say they go ahead and get a master's degree.
Ooh, well, that'll be into the bucks by now.
Now, this is someone who's really, really, you know, trained. Really trained. They're spending
clinical stuff and everything.
Yes, they can tell what medication is going to cause. Let's say if the doctor decides this guy's bipolar. I'm sorry, if this person, this therapist, decides that that guy's bipolar, recommends the doctor for medication. Doctor says, fine, okay, we're going to give him a lift a bit. And then the patient comes in with the script, and this well-trained, very intelligent, master-level person looks at the script and goes, oh, my God, he gave you Lithabid. But you have microvalve prolapse. But yeah. Did you tell the doctor? But yeah. Okay, hang on. So you have to get on the phone and call the doctor and very gently say, this patient has microvalve prolapse and you have ordered Lithabid for him. Well, of course I did. Well, you do know that it can cause a heart attack, right? So, yes.
Okay, so this person is actually saving lives, catching horrendous malpractice mistakes, that kind of thing. And what kind of big bucks are they pulling down, Rick?
Well, if they don't do it right, and if they don't get into people who really appreciate them, normally $25,000 a year.
For a master's degree?
Absolutely.
Okay, now you're talking Texas.
Texas.
What about, say, Alabama, maybe, or Georgia, or an enlightened state like, say, Illinois?
Well, Illinois would be much higher. I mean, you'd be getting up into about $35,000.
Much higher.
But the ones that the others that you mentioned, it's going to be lower. Maybe about 24 or 23.
Yeah. And so, and I'm guessing they don't have like a caseload that allows them to sit and actually ruminate over each and every, you know, I mean, you know, say devote 2 or 3 hours to each and every client.
Could you give me about 2 seconds here?
Yeah.
Well, let's say 32 patients a month.
Jesus. So.
On a 4-day week.
Okay, so now let's...
Now, wait a second. Some of these people, though, are going to be making $250,000 a year. It all depends. Yeah.
Well, what I'm trying to get at, though, Rick, is, you know, we are told that this young man had been referred for mental health services.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That means if he went to the school, he probably saw a doctor's... assistant, physician assistant, or a practical nurse, which is they can look at it and prescribe medication. Okay. Then, if it's still at the school, more than likely they send him to the School of Social Work for the students that are going through the training or either the School of Psychology, and a first, second, or third year student would have taken him on the caseload and did an evaluation and figured out if he was safe, figured out if he needs to go see a doctor, all that kind of stuff. They would not have went to a high-paid $500-per-interview psychiatrist. They would have done that, or they would have went into the mental health system. Sorry.
It's okay.
Into the mental health system with a QMB, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Or they would have just went out and went to work with the lowest paid and mistreated people of the entire world, a social worker. But if they would have done that, they would have had a chance. Because they are also the best trained.
So what were kind of, I mean, this kid within the system as it currently stands and as it has been, and let's understand, Rick, tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth. This is a system that has been assaulted for years on end by Republican politics, Republican funding, and Republican policy, right?
Ronald Reagan came out with this beautiful ideal that these poor mentally ill people don't need to be institutionalized anymore. So
that sounds charming.
Uh-huh. It's called deinstitutionalization. Where they take
mainstreaming.
A person, yes, and they give them 30 pills and a bus ticket. Now, I don't care what anybody says. There's a lot of my colleagues that disagree with me on this. There are some people in society that must be institutionalized for life for their protection or for society's protection. And like I said before, most time for their protection. But instead, what we have, the gigantic explosion that we had during the 80s of the homeless, it was because of deinstitutionalization. Mentally ill people were thrown out under the bridges, along with Vietnam vets who were not receiving any kind of mental health treatment, thrown under the bridges. And then if it's anything like Texas, after, you know, if you get 1 year sentence, you only have to spend 28 days for that year in prison. So if you get 5 years for murder, you're going to stay 5 months. And then you're thrown out under the bridge with the mentally ill people. And who are they going to take advantage of when they get there under that bridge? And with the Vietnam vets.
So
this benevolent country that we have doesn't care a flip about the soldiers when they come home and quit doing their dirty business for them. And they don't care about the most vulnerable and the most in need people in America, the mentally ill. And this kid on that campus was not mentally ill. Let someone prove me wrong.
Just evil.
Just evil. He wanted a blaze of glory, and it wasn't a martyr. He wanted to be the king.
The well, see, I read the stories that were talking about the incredible accuracy with which he shot.
Practiced.
And that's when I ran across the business about Ismail being written on his arm, and the AX. And I saw axe, and I thought axe chop, you know. And then I went, no, this is Virginia Polytechnic and State University. This is a technical school. He may have been an English major, but he was surrounded by people who do math and do engineering stuff.
And which building did he go to?
Yep.
The engineering classes. Am I wrong on that one?
No. It was an engineering building.
I thought so.
You're
a genius, my friend. Brother Bob, get out of religion. You can do great research.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for that night with the brown acid, they'd probably have me with the FBI being a profiler. But you know, I can't answer all the questions right.
The brown acid is bad. Don't touch.
Don't do the brown acid, Rick.
My gasket's a little bitter. Did we cover everything that
pretty close? Pretty close, because I'm not kidding. I had really, really wanted to talk to you, but I know how busy you are, and I
was personally staying off because I was afraid that. And please, if there are any listeners out there and any of your family was involved, my sincere apologies. I hope I have not upset anybody. I hope I haven't said anything to cause anybody any pain. But the fact of the matter is, this was senseless and preventable in a thousand different layers.
Human, and see, that's the thing, humanly preventable. Preventable by the agency of human intellect and human intervention.
And if we did not have a disemboweled government, then we would have the money and the resources to catch these people
Well, that's the way it is with you liberals, Goodner. You think that you can solve the world's problems by throwing money at it.
And guess what? It works.
Yeah, it does,
it
doesn't it?
It solved Russia's problem. I mean, my God, the guy was out buying street drugs. He was taking 300 milligrams of oxycodone a day. My God, my wife only has to take 5 for her cancer pain. 5 milligrams. He took 300 a day. Figure that one out.
How do you not die?
It doesn't make any sense to me. And here he is making all of this money, and it got him out of a street drug, because if you buy it off the streets, it's a street drug crime. So see, money does solve problems, Rush. It got you out of jail,
See the struggle I go through every night, Rick?
I do try to be a nice person.
My brother, I love you to death, and I tell you what, I think about you a bunch, and I appreciate you calling in. I know how hard you work, and I know how hard they keep your nose to the grindstone. And I'm so very glad that you did call in, because I wanted your perspective.
Well, I want you to know that you and Agnes's support has really been a great deal for Patricia and I, and always has been. Everything
we think about Patricia a bunch.
Appreciate it. Anything I can do, you got my number.
Yeah.
You call me, and I can rave and rant. But like I said, I was purposely trying to stay off from them.
Well, and you've made me think a little bit. Maybe I should have just left this all alone. But it was for the last two nights I've come on the air. How do you leave it? Okay, Doc. How do you leave it alone?
You don't. You can't. If you got an infected finger, you split that sucker open, you get the corruption out of it, and you start healing. And that's what we need to do. And let's start with Deb. Sorry, Agnes. I am very sorry, but I think people should call and make their viewpoints known to this lovely lady. And I am not talking anything about her profession. I'm not talking about anything about her qualifications. I just disagree with her diagnosis.
That's 865-909-9424. 865-909-9424. WNOX-FM 100.3, The Phil Show.
I promise you, if I get a moment, I will be there. Thank you, Brother Bob.
Take care, Rick.
Okay, bye.
See ya. That's the kind of guy that makes you feel good about the mental health profession.
Rick is brilliant.
Rick's a genius. The Fox Syndrome, shared psychotic disorder. You can order it over at Amazon. And you know what? He's been jumped on the boards there. If you're signed up where you can comment on the message boards there at Amazon, he's been jumped on by a bunch of right wing freaks. If you'd care to jump in and smack some of those little rats back down there, down the dirty little holes that they live in. Let's keep rolling on the phones. To Teresa, calling from Canada with great patience. Teresa, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, gosh. Don't ever say that. Thank you for calling.
I was calling, I know you've sort of gone on a different topic, but I wanted to revisit the issue of the late-term abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Sure.
I find it very frightening and disturbing, like a fear for the women in America, because it seems like there's just a huge loophole there. The ban, from what I understand, is anything over 12 weeks.
The procedure itself, Teresa, doesn't have a timeline on it.
I know,
but
that's what they're saying. Like,
but this is going to enable right wing womb Nazis all across the United States to attack every abortion procedure at the 12 week line.
I can see them now, like in front of Planned Parenthood. Like, how far along are you? You know, and the doctors, you know, being afraid to do it.
Yeah.
But more importantly, that the humanity, a woman in a late stage of pregnancy obviously wanted to keep that baby. And there are things that a woman can die from where they would have to abort the fetus, preeclampsia being the obvious one, but there's other ones too.
Mm-hmm. Well, hydrocephalus.
I can't imagine how difficult that decision would be for men and women to make, and then to have to go to Canada to get it done, like add that extra stress. Like,
yeah.
My God. Like, I've been sort of going around some of the different blogs and that.
But, Teresa, please understand, dear, they're coming for you, too. They're coming for Canada. There's a right-wing superstition industry up there that's hard at work.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it. Well...
I'm really, really grateful for what I perceive to be the just beautiful normalcy of the Canadian spirit.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I think that the Americans are very normal for the most, for the most part. There's that 30.
See, I feel like we're living in a Twilight Zone episode.
I know it's unbelievable. But the thought that, like, I was looking around different blogs and that, and someone actually wrote in, well, if the mother dies, there's always adoption for the baby. Like, my God, this woman should just die. And, the deformed baby will be adopted by someone.
Well, but babies like that, nice Christian couples of the right-wing variety don't want that kind of baby, Teresa.
Well, of course not. But it just, the enforcing of it is just seems to me very dangerous, like that there's this 12-week cutoff now, so like the anti-abortion fundies will be on that, I would think. Like, they'll be on the doctors. Are you sure it was 12 weeks? Are you sure it wasn't 13 weeks? I don't know.
Yeah, and
it's a sad day for women.
It is, and I've got an email here from our friend Cindy. Talking about this whole scenario, and she points out, and I certainly, I'm not in any position to take issue. You tell me, Teresa. Cindy writes, young women of America did not value what their mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers fought for, yes, and were beaten and died for. That is the freedom to choose whether or not to have a baby. Mm-hmm. That leaves us with, one, begin a widespread petition to impeach the Supreme Court. Two, quit having sex with any man who believes in this. Three, never allow them to adopt our children again. Four, let the young women know that this is their own fault. And she says, yeah, it's done, but there is such a thing as impeachment of those judges. They are not allowed to be political. They can be impeached. I'd like to think that that's true, but I think the likelihood of that happening, we got a greater likelihood of being hit by a meteor tomorrow morning.
Oh, I know. I'm reading some of the opinions from the judges as well.
But have no reason. Have younger women quit the fight?
Pardon me?
Have younger women quit the fight, Teresa?
It seems that way. Younger people seem to have, I don't know, quit the fight. Regard to a lot of things, Iraq, and I guess because they've always had those rights, and they don't know what it's like to fight for them. They don't think they'll ever go away, and they'll go away quietly, and then they'll turn around and what happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah, where'd my freedom go?
Where's my freedom gone? But it'll be lost in little ways. The it already is. Being lost that way, I see in the U.S. like in little ways, little things like, they call it the partial birth abortion ban, where they take the baby out.
Well, they do, and they talk about it with such glee. They talk about, you get the idea that they're like psychos who take some sort of sick pleasure in describing the act.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, let's give them a picture of someone, a woman dying from preeclampsia or whatever, but that'd be just playing their game, too. They're just awful. They've come up here before, too. I think it was during, when the Dalai Lama came to Toronto for some reason. I don't know why. That drew a lot of anti-abortion groups from the States up here, standing on corners with pictures of,
fetuses.
Babies and everything, and then they got told to move along, and then they made a big stink about it. Like, I don't know.
What a disgusting bunch.
And then 170-some-odd people died in Iraq today. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they had, well... I can't fathom. Like I said, it's a little bit crazy down here, Teresa. And for the life of me, I can't fathom a country that can't see the similarity between that many people dying in Iraq and what happened in Blacksburg, because it's not the same religion, it's not the same ethnicity, but it is certainly the same impulsive, or no, Rick said it's not impulsive, but it's the same urge.
And in some cases, it's the same victims. Like Baghdad University was bombed, was that a month or so ago?
Yep.
And was there, who knows?
Literally, all the...
They never update us on the number.
All the brains are being driven out of Iraq. They're going to be left with nothing but a bunch of semi-literate religious fanatics. And the Republicans down here somehow have some just utterly crazed idea that out of that is going to flower a democracy. Democracy first flowered, Teresa, as I'm sure you well know, in a superiorly intellectualized society that had people like Socrates in it. Now, Socrates didn't like democracy, but you get my meaning.
It definitely doesn't spring from that. You've got a country that has a dictator, and you take him out and just leave a vacuum. What do you think it's going to be filled with? Like the angry people, you know, and then what's his name, Bremer, saying to, you know, all Saddam soldiers, get out of here and take your weapons with you. Like, that was very intelligent.
Yeah, classy guy, that.
But
democracy flourished here as well when you had an intellectual base.
Mm-hmm.
The common farmer tilling the soil was not the source of democracy. It was highly educated individuals who had a chance to read Locke and Hobbes and all the others.
Yeah.
And to formulate out of that an idea of how people might govern themselves without bowing to a person who wore jewelry on his head.
Mm-hmm. When you read the Constitution or Declaration, not Constitution or whatever, like they seem to cover everything there pretty well. But I guess they didn't figure on gangsters like the ones that are in the White House right now.
Well, they did, and that's why they put the impeachment proceedings in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. What they never counted on was that there would be elected representatives in this country that didn't have the guts to stand up for their own rights inside the government.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's that. I'm glad you brought up the shooting.
Well, there's one thing that's sure.
I mean,
you know,
those campus cops, like, what the hell were they doing just standing out there when the bullets were, you know, the guy was shooting them all? But
hey, there's a guy shooting. Hide.
They weren't even hiding. They were just standing there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the cell phone camera said it all. That from the guy who had the cell phone camera. But, you know, and that whole thing's sickening, too. Like, the...
Well, it is.
It's inhuman. The guy obviously was mentally ill, and there was plenty of warning. Something could have been done. But the two-hour gap is what just...
Yeah, how do you explain that?
I don't care. And then they said that they thought the first one was a
domestic violence
dispute.
So you don't respond to domestic violence?
They thought the first one was a murder-suicide? Well, then there would have to have been a gun at the first scene laying there if it was a murder-suicide. So if there wasn't, how could they possibly think it was a murder-suicide? Like, sounds like the Keystone Cops.
I know. Teresa, we're at the top of the hour. I love talking to you. Thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, no problem. Love talking to you.
You have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be back after the news. If you're on hold, please stay that way. If you'd like to chime in, you're welcome to join the congregation here on prayer meeting night in the Cathedral of Common Sense. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Fathers, they had pride. It wasn't perfect, they fought and died. 200 years of struggle for equality. Now we look more like a monarchy. The halls where justice did once reside has been sold out and replaced with lies. It's all money, power to the few. How long until they come for you? And you say that it can never happen here. And you say it can never happen here.
This is the Quality News Network. The gunman in the Virginia Tech campus shooting apparently mailed a package to NBC News during the two-hour lull in his deadly rampage. At a press conference this afternoon, police revealed 23-year-old Cho Sung-hui's package was received by NBC and handed over to authorities this morning. In it, photos of Cho with weapons and a CD of him railing against rich kids. Other disturbing facts have surfaced. In 2005, Cho had been taken to a mental health facility following concerns he was suicidal. Police were also called after he stalked two female students, but no charges were filed against him. Court papers show a doctor evaluated Cho and found him to, quote, present an imminent danger to himself as the result of mental illness. Cho killed 32 people and himself in Monday's shooting rampage. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld a nationwide ban on a rare, controversial late-term abortion procedure. Today's 5-4 decision is seen as a victory for anti-abortion forces. Critics of the ruling call it backpedaling on abortion rights established 30 years ago. At the White House, President Bush met with a bipartisan group of lawmakers for more than an hour today. They were trying to reconcile key differences in the funding bill for the Iraq War. They failed to reach an agreement. Four large bomb blasts killed at least 200 people in mostly Shiite areas of Baghdad. The worst attack targeted a crowded marketplace. In response, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki ordered the arrest of the Iraqi colonel in charge of security in that area. This was the deadliest day in the capital city since the U.S. security crackdown began 2 months ago. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who's in Israel, says the military had expected al-Qaeda terrorists and other insurgents to step up the violence to make Iraqis believe the security plan had failed. Philippine officials say they found a body thought to be that of missing American Peace Corps volunteer 40-year-old Julia Campbell. Murder is suspected because the body was found buried in a shallow grave. In Gaza, about 200 Palestinian journalists have clashed with parliamentary security guards. They were demonstrating, demanding the release of a BBC reporter, 44-year-old Alan Johnston, who was kidnapped by unknown gunmen more than a month ago. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Business and Science, next.
Kuhlhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central
Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A new study shows hormone supplements taken by women during menopause do raise the risk of breast cancer. The U.S. government numbers examined showed that breast cancer rates plunged in 2003 and leveled off the year after that. That was the year after millions of women stopped taking the supplements because a big study tied them to higher risk of stroke and breast cancer. The nationwide pet food recall is now expanded because the chemical contaminant melamine has now been found in a rice protein concentrate. Earlier, the plastics manufacturing chemical was found in wheat gluten. And a study just released says using ethanol instead of gasoline raises ozone levels and could cause increased air pollution. Research says areas most affected would be in New England and Southern California. For the first time in 15 years, the British pound has risen higher than the $2 mark. Economists say the UK is experiencing an unexpected surge in inflation, leading to speculation interest rates will rise. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.34 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. The Dow closed at a new all-time high, up 31 points, ending at 12,804. The NASDAQ closed down 6. The S&P closed up 3. And there's more news at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
6 and a half after. And we go straight back to the phones. Our good buddy Luke calls in from Knoxville, Tennessee, the home of WNOX 100.3 and The Phil Show. Hey, Luke.
Yes, Mr. Phil Williams. Yes, indeed.
Is he a right-wing freak?
Years ago he wasn't, I don't think. He's not a real deep right-wing. Let me tell you my favorite Phil story. You'll love this. Phil used to be a rock and roll DJ.
Weren't we all?
Yeah, I know. He was the one that did the Johnny Fever test. Had the bottle of Jack Daniels, take a drink, ring the bell.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He did that one to the point where he played Eliminator 32 times in a row. The next year, they hit the album. You know, it was one of those things, it's like, Phil, quit playing the song. Oh, we're going to play it again.
I like that one. You know, we had a jock when I was growing up, called himself Johnny Q Midnight. And he used to sit there and mix a pitcher of martinis while he worked the midnight shift at the local station that all the kids listened to. And about 3 o'clock in the morning one night, he'd gotten you know, three sheets to the wind and decided that I love Stairway to Heaven and played it, and you could hear him pick the stylus up. I mean, he wasn't even fooling with the pots on the board. Just pick the stylus up, set the stylus back. Pick the stylus up, set the stylus back. He got canned for that, and 2 weeks later, he was the programming director at the Gospel Voice because he done found Jesus.
I didn't realize that's how you found Jesus. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, yeah, that was, and this is the guy who went on and went on to tell me and a couple of the other young jocks there at the Gospel Voice that we were Satan's emissaries to that station.
Oh, I tell you. Oh, well, I tell you what, let me get into this because I know you may have other.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Luke. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. But like I say, yeah, I call Phil. He's on from like 3 to 6 Eastern.
Okay, yeah, and this interview is going down from 3:35 to 3:55.
Oh, boy, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, well, let me go on. I'm sorry. The one I've loved so far the last couple of days is the NRA people. If everybody had guns, this wouldn't have happened. And I'm just sitting there going, let's see now. Let's imagine a little later in the year. Well, we're here at the big football game on Saturday. And, you know, those same kids that, you know, of course there is no drinking. those same kids that for some reason bring empty whiskey bottles with them and throw them during the game.
You know, that never happens in Morgantown.
Oh, no. But, you know, that one or two that the police have to come down and escort out. Now, imagine this. You know, that referee, he's been kind of cheating on us. Let's pick him off. Or, you know, that running back, he's just making too many yards.
if you go to YouTube, Luke, and you search for, oh, just a minute. Allie G, Alabama.
Oh, gosh.
You will see an excerpt of the Allie G show, which is, of course, Sacha Baron Cohen, of Borat fame, where he plays this over-the-top gay stylist Austrian hairdresser, and he visits an Alabama home football game.
Oh, God.
And goes down on the sidelines and is sitting there doing the rah-rah cheer thing with the Alabama cheerleaders. And the rednecks, you know, the camera turns around and pans back to the stands. The rednecks are in a frenzy. Now, imagine those dudes with the right to carry a gun anywhere.
Oh, well, like I say, just imagine. It's like I said, I was talking at work today, somebody, I said, now just imagine the good frat party. You know, over here at Cap Alpha, we don't like those guys at Alpha Omega. Let's shoot out the windows of their place.
Let's shoot them out.
Yeah, and the first one gets a scream wins. You know how it is. You know, it's like frat parties and raves are just going to be so much fun. Of course, you do have to bring your own body bag just in case.
Oh, God.
I mean, but you know,
these
just
are
imagine,
fools.
We're going to combine binge drinking and firearms. Oh, joy.
Home university, your youngster.
Oh, gosh. I mean, but you know what I mean? Some of these people making these statements don't think it out. You know, it's like saying, I'm sorry, but like I said, all you have to ever do is go by a place on a Friday or Saturday night and go down to the Strip, which is what they call our local run. You know what I mean? It's called the Strip.
Everybody's got one.
Oh, God. And you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like saying, these people are dangerous enough just when they're out walking with nothing in their hands. Dear Lord, I can't imagine them with varying degrees of a firearm.
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
I saw you. No, you weren't looking. You were looking at my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm on a fight. I got my gun here somewhere.
I tell you what, it's one of those. I tell you one thing that's getting to me right now is I'm sitting here watching Oberman, and of course NBC's been running this thing where they got the package of these pictures and all this stuff, and it's like, okay, guys, you get to run it one time through. After that, digitize his face. You know, he don't get no more publicity in that respect. If y'all want to show him through one time, that's fine. But after that, if you want to show them on the air, digitize his face. Because if somebody thinks they can make a name for themselves by doing something like this, no, they can't. You know, his image should never be shown again.
I agree.
You know, it's like they can go in there and they can put the pixels over top of his face and still show what he was doing, you know what I mean?
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to have 4 hours of team coverage tomorrow, finding out that he liked peanut butter and banana sandwich with dill pickle slices. While Alberto Gonzalez is perjuring himself all over the Congress.
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing this weekend, if you stomach it, if you know, I'm sure C-SPAN will rerun all the thing from yesterday at Virginia Tech. And if you watch all the speeches, most of the speeches, the people were talking about moving on. You know what I mean, not forgetting it, but you know what I mean, looking forward.
Yeah.
Then wait till the stupid guy starts talking.
Oh, I know.
He wants to relive it.
It was a history lesson. I mean, yeah, I ran it on the show last night.
Do you know what I mean? It's like if you listen to almost everybody on that thing, most of them were talking about how we could move forward from this.
A vision for the future, yeah.
But not the stupid guy. No. He wanted to replay it, build up the horror and the terror. Come on, let's keep this going. Well, you know, a minute ago I was talking about about kids in school. Now imagine 30 years ago, Yale student G.W. Bush with a gun. He who stayed either drunk or coked up most of his time in college.
Yeah, and didn't have any problem taking a white-hot wire and branding Delta Kappa Epsilon into the ass of a pledge.
Well, I think we're going to have to shoot you in the leg so you have a wound, so you have a scar to show.
Dance, but no, not even so much. Dance, pledge, dance.
Oh. Well, you saw the other thing, didn't you? Now you started to talk about Gonzalez. You saw this thing now where the White House is saying, well, we want to look at these. If you recover any of the emails, we, of course, want to see them first because we have to look through them.
Yeah, you know, I didn't mean to delete that recipe for Aunt Mabel's fudge. I've been looking for that thing for 6 years.
Yeah, but you know, it's like we were talking the other night. It's like, okay, I could see maybe 1 month of you could say, hey, we accidentally deleted it. 2 years? No. That means we made the same mistake every time for 24 months.
Well, bless his heart, our IT professional, Peter Godbold, laid it all out last night.
I heard that. That was good.
You know, this $5
million. Yeah.
That's a 5 and 6 zeros, and they can't all be, congratulations, I am writing you from the estate of my lost, my recently departed husband. No.
They all weren't things on how to regrow hair. No.
Or anything else.
Yeah. It's like, no. Basically, no, those are the ones they'll probably be able to recover. Yes, you too can buy hoodie at a discount price. You know?
I know.
But,
I know.
But you know what I mean? It's one of these things. You're sitting here watching some of this stuff, and you're just kind of going, you know, the thing today was, you know, this thing here now that pretty much has been coming out all day is this thing about him having been sent down and examined, you know, for his problem. And it's like, gee, isn't it amazing how that instant check didn't bother to catch the fact that he's been declared non-compos mentis?
Yeah, that background check's not much.
Before, like that, well, see, they had the Insta check.
Yeah, it's one little old lady at ATF sitting next to a phone, going, "Yeah, give him the gun. Next, give him the gun.
I mean,
give him the gun.
Hey, wait,
give him the gun.
Put the feeler out to all the in-state police stations, saying, have you had any problem with this person? It's like, no, we have to find out within 30 seconds. If we don't find out within 30 seconds, you can have anything you want. Want the howitzer? Come on in, get it. You know, I like
mind-boggling.
What was the thing? I think I sent it to you the other day. Was, well, let's see. Now, you should be able to get an RPG. That's just a big gun with a big bullet.
It's a real big bullet.
And it's a single shot too. They can't even claim it's an automatic.
Jesus, don't give them any ideas.
I know, but you know what I mean. It's sort of like, according to this, well, like say,
what's wrong with me having a bazooka? It ain't no semi-auto bazooka. It ain't got no clip.
You know, it's like IEDs. I don't need no IEDs. I can get the howitzer. You know, this is a 40 millimeter shell. What the heck? Oh God, these people worry me. Well, I tell you what. Let me get on off here because we're about to get a storm, and I'm just going to have to listen to you tomorrow on White Rose.
Oh like, no! Is that crap coming my way?
Well, we just had a this one's going to be like tonight into the start of the morning. It's just some rain. Then supposedly this weekend they say we're going to have pretty weather. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, me too.
All righty then, y'all.
Thanks,
have a good
Luke.
Evening.
You have a great evening.
Bye.
Stay out of the weather. And now they say if the tornado's coming, you don't open your windows. It used to be we ran around opening all our windows so our house wouldn't explode. Now they say don't open the window. God,
so
yeah, that day in Alabama, me in the hallway with a mattress over the top of me, going, please. Let's go to our good buddy Sarge. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. You?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, listen, I want to ask you something.
Yes,
would you get in touch with Rick? I would love to have a discussion with him. Well, I wanted to ask him to come on to my show.
Okay, I bet you he's still listening.
Okay, because I would love to have him come on to my show and talk about the needs of mental health in the area down here. And
I bet you he could talk about it too.
Because it's something I'm really concerned about, and he's so smart, and I was impressed. I've always been impressed with him. I want him on my show if he'll come on. But anyway,
well, I'll certainly make that contact, Sarge.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it, man. By the way, you can bet every time I get a chance, I'm gonna slip head on into my show.
I appreciate it, man. That's just too cool that you're going on. Nova M out there, KPHX. You're going to be running on KPHX, right?
Right. I'm going to be on the first 30 minutes of my show will be carried on KPHX in Phoenix, and then it'll be the whole hour on Nova M. There's a scheduling thing for the local broadcast, but that's okay.
I'm
a rank amateur. I'm not.
When's that going to start, Sarge?
My understanding starts Sunday, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, and I'm on pre-recorded Saturday night, and the first show I'm going to have Jim Yancey on, and I'm going to try and bring in people who...
This Sunday? Like...
Yeah, like this coming Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I was really impressed, you know. I don't know how it all came about, and certainly they... You know, I don't know why they won't make us. I'm nobody, but you know that I'm not. I mean, I'm not a Bob Kincaid or a Mike Malloy or Jeff Barrius, so or Joe Vecchio. I mean, you know, how did I get it? That's okay. I'll accept it.
You know what? You start out, and the next thing you know, you are.
Well, you know, if you guys, y'all are the ones that are professionals. I'm just a guy just trying to get the word out for the people in the Katrina area. And that's all it really is to me. It's just a chance to get these people's stories out there and hopefully make the nation aware of the needs and the total failure that's going on down here. And the mental health area is really something that really concerns me. They talk about this gunman at Virginia Tech, but let me say, when you have a teacher saying this guy's writings is really freaky and we're really worried about him because we don't think he knows whether it's real or unreal, and he really, really needs to be looked at, and he's not, you know, he's not removed from the classes and given help like he needs. That's because these right wing thugs don't believe in mental health care, and that just aggravates.
Yeah, and see, there's that word I so despise, Sarge. That word believe.
Yeah,
because they think that they can approach science, breakfast cereals, the superstition, religion, what have you, as a question of belief. You don't believe in the law of gravity, and you know that, and I know that. But you know, now you see, it's only a theory. Mental illness is only a theory. There's so many different schools. There's Freudian and Jungian and behavioralist and that they're just theories. They're nothing. Yeah. And then you wind up with this kid wandering around with a couple of guns that he was able to buy, you know, the same day he bought, you know, maybe the same place he bought a T-shirt or maybe the bulletproof vest, and you wind up with this.
Yeah, and then look what's happening down in Pascagoula, down with Northrop Grumman. There's actually a deputy sheriff in Jackson County that is actually involved in on this, but they have actually... Betsy sent me a email about it. I hadn't been able to get it posted yet, but I'm going to try and get it up at unreportednews.net. But there's actually people who spent their whole life savings to come from India to come over here to work at the shipyard in Pascagoula, and it turns out these people are being held hostage. They've lost everything they have.
Slave labor, perhaps?
Oh, pretty much, let's see, I believe the title of the thing was Human Trafficking in Mississippi, which, you know, is basically what it is. They were locked in a room, and I'm going to try and get the story up. I can't remember it all, but it's really a sickening, sickening story.
Well, I'd like to read that, because that sounds symptomatic to me, Sarge, of something that we've seen go on with the way that the war in Iraq is being prosecuted, because we tend to think of independent contractors over there, and we think of some Blackwater mercenary killer thug who's making $120,000 a year. But the fact is, we have solicited hundreds and thousands of people from South Asia who come over and are basically held hostage to work in the kitchens and the laundries of the military. And, you know, and I've seen a few stories about that, but not many. But we are treating South Asia as a conscript labor pool.
Well, I'm going to have the story up as soon as I can get it up. I got a few little loose ends I got to tie up, but as soon as I get that done, I'm going to put it up. Because it's just a gross, gross story, and it's supposed to be a legitimate company that brought these people over, but also these coyotes that are in Mexico rounding up these illegal aliens, they're doing the same thing to them. So hey, you know, you can build fences. The best thing you can really build is a decent society that treats people fair and honest. You can't be like this dang woman, Shelley, that writes me these emails and say...
You know, I heard you mention that earlier this morning because I was producing Joe, Shelley the Republican.
Yeah.
See, I read that, you know, back when Malloy got canned at Air America, the freaks. And somebody sent me a link to that site, and I read it for a while, and I decided that Shelley was like somebody pretending to be a right winger.
She's just a complete idiot. I've gotten a bunch.
Is she real? I mean,
I'm afraid so.
Okay, because I thought it was like some sort of spoof.
Well, I did too, but the more I got involved corresponding with her, the more I really got to believe in, hey, this woman's crazy. She's just a complete idiot. And I've got her email address up on my site if anybody wants to write to her, because she did something with me that's a number one violation with me, and after that, I don't care. I'm going to put it all out there. And she was saying, black people have no real function in society. And so, hey, we got, you know, so...
There's a live one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a little secret, Sarge. When you start getting noticed by the weirdos of the right wing, brother, you have arrived.
Well, I don't know about arriving, but if it helps the people down in Jackson County, and go over the whole region, not just Jackson County, I'm getting bad about being too particular there, but the whole region, Louisiana and Mississippi coastal.
And, you know, we never mentioned it, but there's still elements of recovery going on in Alabama and the Florida Panhandle.
Well, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of people down there and talk to them, because I really don't want to exclude Alabama. But so far, nobody's, and I know of one, but they haven't called me yet. So I'm really trying to get the people in Alabama to open up and let me know what's going on so I can expose their problems as well, because I don't want to leave anybody out. And if there's another hurricane comes through, it'll be just right in there with it, because I'm just not going to give up on this until people are taken care of.
Well, we can't, Sarge.
I can't stand it, Bob. It just breaks my heart to see what's going on. And this is American citizens, for God's sake.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
But look, I'm going to let you go, Bob.
All right, Sarge, you have a great evening, and, you know, get yourself all prepped up for your Saturday night session. We'll be listening on Sunday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, you take it easy. Our buddy Sarge down there in Mississippi. Break a, you know, we say break a leg. We don't say good luck. We say break a leg in the performance biz. Break a leg, Sarge. We'll take a break and we'll come back to your phone calls. You know, a half hour left. A couple of lines open if you want to jump in for the conversation. On your nickel, it's 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. Toll free if you need us to pay the freight, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Of course, email roars into bob@headonradio.com. We'll be back. This is America's Liberal Voice. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. More than 400,000 grocery workers represented by the United Food and Commercial Workers are bargaining for new contracts this year. The UFCW's Amber Sparks says big supermarket chains are not treating workers with respect as they negotiate the new contracts.
They are not providing affordable health care, not providing, you know, a living wage for workers.
Talks resumed this week between UFCW and three grocery chains in Southern California. Sparks says the union is using a national strategy in an effort to have grocery workers rise up together.
The strategy has been, for the first time really, that workers are bargaining nationally. And what that means is that they are all realizing that they have this power when they all speak together that is stronger than the company's power, even these national companies.
Uncertainty and low morale is plaguing workers at Coca-Cola, according to the union representing more than 18,000 workers with the company. Jesse Russell reports.
Worker uncertainty is leading to escalating labor unrest and, according to the Teamsters, could eventually result in work stoppage at Coca-Cola. During a conference call with industry analysts, the union said management needs to address basic concerns over job security and health care. David Lawton, secretary treasurer of the Teamsters, said Coca-Cola's approach to labor relations has deteriorated, leaving workers with uncertainty and low morale. Coca-Cola announced a restructuring plan earlier this year, which will see the slashing of 3,500 jobs. Lawton called the plan ill-conceived and short-sighted. The company also announced a loss of $1.7 billion in 2006. Even with that loss and the threat of layoffs, Coca-Cola executives received performance awards at the end of the year, including a $1 million bonus for CEO John Brock. Currently, the Teamsters are in contract negotiations for thousands of Coca-Cola employees, with thousands more coming up for negotiation by the end of the year.
Income inequality in the U.S. is at near record levels. Dan Pedrotti, director of the AFL-CIO's Office of Investment, says it's bad for society and undermines the middle class.
It's driven by, I think, in large part, an administration that has taken up one side in the class war and pursued it unabated. And it's the reason we see the CEO-to-worker pay ratio go from 40-1 at the beginning of the 1980s to 411-1 now.
Here is today's economic report. The Bay Area has some of the highest housing costs in the country, and those prices could be about to have a major impact on the region's economy. According to the Mercury News, the number of Bay Area homeowners who failed to pay mortgages on time doubled in the first quarter compared to the same time last year. 6,730 homeowners received notices of default in the first quarter. But according to the article, the region may not yet be in trouble. That would depend on how many more borrowers who qualify through subprime loans default.
Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
Dear Mr. President, come take a walk with me. Let's pretend we're just two people and you're not better than me. I'd like to ask you some questions if we can speak honestly. What do you feel when you see all the homeless on the street? Who do you pray for at night before you go to sleep?
Welcome back, I'm Bob.
What do you feel when you look in the mirror?
Pertinent questions.
Are you proud? How do you sleep while the rest of us cry?
Yeah, that's, damn, that's just the question we need to ask the entire GOP. You know, who is that, Agnes?
Pink.
Was that Pink?
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Billy. Cheers. To the phones and our good buddy Gerard calling from Indiana. Hey, Gerard, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
It's not often I call you twice in two nights, but I had to weigh in on this Supreme Court thing.
Yeah.
I was doing some work out in my garage today, so I had NPR on, and let me back up. I'm kind of like you and Agnes. I hate this topic to begin with. And maybe I'm just in denial or something. But I've got 5 grown children. In the last 3 months, I've been blessed with 3 new grandchildren. And to think that one of their lives might have been destroyed through an abortion does not, you know, make me smile. Or there's, if one of my, if my daughter or one of my daughters-in-law had decided that that was the way they needed to go, I would have a hard time with that. But having said that, and I guess when I say I'm in denial, I've never really looked into the issue. And they had a doctor today on NPR who basically, well, first of all, this the term partial birth abortion is something that was fabricated by somebody from the Right to Life.
Yeah, let's call it what it is, Gerard.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
They're liars.
And this doctor described this what the procedure that they say is a partial birth abortion. The real medical name for it is an intact dilation and extraction. So basically what happens is they artificially dilate the woman's cervix. And,
right.
And if I get this wrong, you know, Agnes, please jump in and correct me. But they dilate the cervix, and hopefully with a forceps or some instrument, they extract the fetus whole. And this only applies to procedures. The law that they're considering is only applies to procedures that are done within the first trimester, what I understand. Now, this is done as opposed to another procedure where they would have to use basically other surgical instruments, sharp interest instruments, and where they do, in fact, destroy the fetus by the way they get it out of the womb is by cutting it into pieces. Now,
and the only reason for doing that is if you cannot get the baby out intact, which already suggests that there is a horrible, horrible problem with the pregnancy in the first place.
Right, right. And, you know, I just, when I think of this, I just think of my, and, you know, I haven't been present at the birth, but I've been in the at the hospital for the birth of my grandchildren. I just probably, I put myself in the place of a parent who had a daughter who possibly had a, you know, I've also had one of my sons had a girlfriend who had a stillbirth. And, you know, there's, any way you look at it, it's a bad situation. And they...
And these people are only making it worse, Gerard.
Yeah, yeah. And the way this doctor described it, I like his... He drew a parallel, you know. He said, let's say you or I, Bob, we get prostate cancer. And there's two procedures that can be done. One of them is less invasive. And both procedures have a record, you know, have a track record of being equally successful. But the Supreme Court decides that the procedure that is less invasive, there's some moral or ethical problem with that. And you have the procedure done. I mean, anytime you go into surgery, there's risk.
Yes.
You know? But, and if you have, get this procedure done and you die because of it, you know, what recourse does anybody have then? Because it's the law that, I mean, they're telling them what, they're telling women what procedures they can have and which ones they can't.
Precisely. And I don't know what it takes to get through to middle America, Gerard. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, that's all right.
This is the same, this is exactly what you just described. This is, you know, this is telling America that, you can't have an appendectomy, or your gallstones are sacred. It really is, and this is coming from the same crowd who, at the same time, will jump up and holler that, well, if we get universal health care, that means that the government's going to make our medical decisions for you. Darn, you know. Sorry.
Yeah, and you know, I just, and you know, I just want to see these people. You know where I want to see them? I want to see them in Washington, D.C., not marching with their, you know, it's the same old thing of letting them control the discussion. You know, I've even heard in some, like on Fox or whatever, they call people who are pro-choice, pro-death. Oh, come off it. You know, it's like, you know, I want to see James Dobson and all those people marching to stop the war. Because if they're going to be true to what they say is their faith, you know, one thing I was pointing out on this NPR report, the right to lifers have been fighting for this for 12 years. How many millions of dollars of legal fees have they paid to put up this fight for 12 years? And how many, you know, one thing, too, I should mention, two of my children are adopted. How many children could have been adopted and put in good foster care homes who might have been otherwise aborted for those millions of dollars? You know, it just
You've,
makes
sense. That's the $64 question. Everything comes back to the evil things that we do, doesn't it, Gerard?
Yeah, you know, it would be nice if we lived in a world where there would be no need for abortion, but we don't. And I just don't see where this, you know. The only what it boils down to is really what they're spending those millions of dollars on is for their right to lord it over the infidels, like you and me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just beyond comprehension. And I agree with you, it's a sad day. I mean, right after the program on NPR, they had the local news, and the 78th soldier from Indiana was killed yesterday.
Oh.
You know, and, you know, I go to these peace vigils and we read all the names and the list gets longer and longer. You know, I've been listening lately. I've been getting a lot of my news from Democracy Now. And there's this whole other dimension to this whole Middle East thing going on in Somalia, where the U.S. Democracy Now! Reports that General John Abizaid has made several trips to Ethiopia and Kenya, that we're backing Ethiopia, going into Somalia to overthrow, and they use the same terminology. They did this group called the Islamic Courts Union, which was put together by a bunch of businessmen who, after all the unrest that was caused by the warlords in Mogadishu, they got together and they wanted, they're a fundamentalist Islamic group. And, you know, we're backing Ethiopia, going in there to establish a provisional government, and the same thing is happening there that is happening in Iraq. And, you know, it's really underreported. But there are hundreds of thousands of people, babies, children, as in any war, that are dying, largely because of what our government decides is in our best interest. And
I'm at a high state of angst, frustration, Gerard. I don't know what to call it. Because I'm watching what's not happening, and a lot of the time I feel like I'm watching my fellow countrymen simply decide that it's not the democracy and 200 years of toil and bloodshed aren't worth it.
Yeah,
just not worth it. I mean, that's what it says. That's what our collective attention deficit disorder says. That's what the fact that there aren't those million people on the mall for the, you know, for a day, a week, a month, a year. It says that it's not worth it. And I don't know. Are they right, Gerard?
Well, I think, you know, it's, you know, one thing I thought about in watching this, all this stuff with the guy that's shooting at Virginia Tech, and I'm all for higher education. I think the more educated people are, the better in general that society is. And this huge media outpouring, you know. And then I thought about the percentages of soldiers in Iraq that keeps going up of young people who did not finish high school.
Yeah.
And what do we, you know, all those families and those students at that school need support and they need to work through their grief. But it's getting to be like it was for Vietnam, where every night Walter Cronkite would, you know, announce the dead and what's the count today, and it's just a count.
Just numbers.
It's just numbers. There's no tears for those caskets coming back. There isn't the families, for the dozen, you know, the families that are devastated by it. But collectively, I don't see anything. I see very little happening. I do see some things happening, but I see very little happening. And certainly not the media coverage that something like this tragedy at Virginia Tech gets. You know?
Yeah, I do.
And the goddamn president won't even go to the funerals, you
yeah.
know?
Anybody's. One. He won't meet a plane in Delaware.
And I, you know, I hate to be the one to bring that kind of message, but that's what I was feeling tonight, so I thought I'd just call that in.
Well, I appreciate you doing it. I genuinely do. Gerard, hang in there, brother.
All right, you too, Bob.
Take care.
You too.
Bye. Bye. And Albert joins us from Wisconsin. Hey, Albert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you today?
You know, up, down, around and around.
Yeah, indeed. Well, hey, I'm just drinking a beer, doing some grilling.
Yeah, there we go, rubbing it in again.
Yeah, I can't. Ooh, it's been. I am in a jacket, but you know, once you get the grilling bug, you kind of have to go with it.
Oh, I know. I was tickled to death. I was talking to a very dear friend of mine today, who just happens to have some cherry wood lying about.
Oh, I'm gonna go.
And it's big, well developed cherry wood, and something getting smoked.
Yeah, my neighbor, I'm looking at, he has an apple and a cherry tree back there, and I'm about to go take my hatchet. No, but he wouldn't care. He wants to cut them down anyway.
Yeah, we're just pruning. You're just pruning.
It's amazing how sweet that wood is. It's amazing how much flavor that adds. It really is. But
yeah, the only thing I can never get my hand on, Albert, is alder, because it doesn't grow around here.
Alder?
Yeah. And they say that is the wood among woods for smoking light things like chicken and fish.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor tells me I have to start eating a lot of chicken and fish, and I am a former beef eater.
Yeah, you can do a little beef in moderation. I that's how I look at it. Honestly, I'm mostly a chicken and fish guy right now anyway, so, you know, but what are you going to
do? I'm going to teach myself. No, seriously, you take a beautiful turkey or something like that, and you got some good fruit wood, and you go low and slow for like, you know, 16 hours.
Yep.
Now that thing looks like it's come out of an incinerator when you get it into the kitchen to start hacking on it, but when you get into it.
Yep.
Oh, Katie, bar the door.
Indeed, and the smoke ring gets inside of it.
Yeah.
It is. It's something that, hey, we get a little bit light now because it's been a pretty heavy week.
Yeah, and it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, Albert. It's been a heavy week, and it's Wednesday.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's already, see, the siren's going off. It's already something else is going down. But, you know, and I don't mean to. I'm not going to step on it because, hey, maybe this is what I'm about to mention. Maybe it's helped people, but it's also something that I've noticed. And I remember we talked the other day, and I didn't quite get to mention it. But this school shooter, he was quite the. Ooh, there must be a parade. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm surprised it's not us. We get those about three times a show.
Oh yeah.
Yearning for the days that I can afford something that stuff called Sonics.
it just instantly zone them out with.
Yeah, it just sucks up sound.
Indeed. So anyhow, it's gone now. But one thing I'd like to mention quickly, right before I throw this chicken on. Oh, it's looking good. We're sitting here, and the Smoking Gun. I think it's .com or .org, one of those. But the Smoking Gun, just Google it if it's not .com.
Yeah.
They have Shooter's Play. Did you read that?
I haven't read it yet. I haven't had the stomach to.
Don't even bother. Like, it is one of the worst. I think he was just, you know, not to make a joke or anything, but he was such a horrible writer. And it is so disturbing that a teacher could actually read that and think that there was no artistic value in it whatsoever. It was completely irrelevant to any point whatsoever. It was one of those kinds of things that, I don't know what's going on down here.
Something on fire.
Something's going on. It's just me barbecuing. I mean, I didn't.
Really, folks?
Come on, man.
But no, not exactly straight. Because, you know, there's violent literature out there that has real merit. I mean, anybody who's ever sat down and gone through William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch.
Yes, indeed. But it's coherent to a point. Yeah. I mean, but we're talking about this guy. I mean, and you know what? Here's where I didn't want to hurt anybody. I did kind of mention this in the chat room. It happens to be not a big surprise that, once again, one of these people that goes around on this murderous rampage is on SSRIs.
Oh, yeah. Do we know yet which SSRI he was on?
I haven't. No, I've seen a few different ones, but I haven't had anyone that's been actually confirmed, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, see, the one thing, Albert, that scares me, or not scares me, but you know what I mean, that concerns me about going down that road is that it's I don't know if I can come up with a simile or a metaphor or whatever. What it boils down to is, if we're looking at the SSRIs, we're not looking at the guns. Now, as a shooter, I don't want anybody to make the mistake of thinking that, you know, I want to take everybody's guns away. But I've been putting the question to people. If, as a gun owner,
which I am,
you could guarantee that Virginia Tech, that what happened at Virginia Tech will never, ever, ever happen in America again, would it be worth your guns?
Well,
because that's kind of where we are. We've made a tacit agreement culturally that we're willing to have another one of those tomorrow or a year from tomorrow or 2 years, three, five, but we've promised ourselves we're going to have another one.
Yeah,
because we're going to continue to make make handguns incredibly available. Now, bear in mind, please, Albert, what I'm talking about is the fact that you can I can travel 25 miles to a flea market and buy a gun.
That's right.
I can go to a gun show and buy 100 guns.
Yep.
The story that I didn't get to tonight is this great gun giveaway in Virginia, because Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York, has sued a bunch of gun stores whose guns, curiously enough, wound up in New York City crimes.
Yeah, they made a movie. There was a movie about that years ago called Strapped.
Yeah.
And it's about how...
And yet, if you say, listen, you know, the gun show's got to go, or we got to quit selling guns at flea markets, the NRA jumps up in your face and screams, you know, you commie, you're trying to take our precious... The civil rights away.
You know, and I am a gun owner. You know that.
Yeah.
And I have guns that probably would make people most. I'm a liberal. I'm a fringe liberal. But I have guns that make most people just go. Ugh. But at the same time, you know, my guns weren't very easy to acquire. And I like to think of myself as someone with a modicum of self-control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to let rage control my life, and I'm certainly not on any of them SSRIs. So at the same time that we sit here and we look at the guns, I mean, and I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I mean, guns are way too easy to get. I mean, number one, this guy, wasn't he convicted by a court or found like needing mental help? by a court?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
All right, if that's true, then I don't have any problem. I'm not going to give up my guns for the same reasons that the right-wing freaks don't give up their guns, okay? Because I don't trust the government.
But the thing is, Albert,
and I know
it ain't going to stop the government. And in fact, thanks to Alito, among others, we have the complete legitimization of no-knock warrants now. And that cost a 92-year-old woman in Atlanta her life because, by God, somebody came through her door and she started shooting and they blew her ass away. And that was less than a year ago.
I know. And that's a balance that I'm still wrestling with. I mean, if they came to in the middle of the night and dragged you away, would your neighbors even care?
My neighbors wouldn't know.
And that's kind of where I'm, you know, my whole thing here about this situation is we're getting to this point where something even just being symbolic. I mean, I can give them back. I can say, here, take my guns. And that's fine. I mean, I live in a rural area.
But I'm not going to pick up the paper some morning and find out that Albert went on a shooting spree. I'd lay 100-to-1 odds that I'm not going to find that out. Okay?
No, you're certainly not.
And you're not going to hear about Bob going on one either.
No.
But the same ease with which we can obtain them is the ease with which evil freaks can obtain them.
Yeah, which is what to just kind of reflect on what I was saying earlier. I mean, if a court of law, and I'm saying like, you know, in a jury and all this other, they kind of find you, hey, you know, this guy's got mental problems. He needs to go to some help. Then, like, you should immediately, like, I can go get a background clearance. Bob, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I've seen your clearance in the U.S. military, okay? I don't have a problem. Go ahead, check my FFL. That's not a problem. My whole thing is, if someone is found to be like, this guy's a little woo-hoo, there goes your right to carry a firearm or your privilege to carry a firearm. I don't have a problem with that at all. I have no problem with that at all. I mean, I don't see how anybody could have a problem with that. If someone is found to be mentally unstable, as this guy clearly was by his writings, by this, and by fines by a court, then he should not be able to purchase a firearm. And I don't have a problem with that. It's just the same thing. If you're 18, you shouldn't be able to purchase liquor. You know what I mean? It's against the law. I don't have a problem with that. And on the whole, I mean, nobody ever, and they're never going to be able to take the hunting guns away. It's just not ever going to happen. But where do we go from here in terms of actually addressing? And I know you don't want. I know you want to address the gun issue, but I really do want to address this SSRI issue. I mean, we got.
I do too. I just want to. I want to patch the sucking chest wound first.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I agree. I mean, and
we can talk. And we can talk about video games and Koreans and Korean video games.
Yeah. But
you know, the federal government, we're running out of time, but it really does all come together. The federal government just raised more of a stink about pirated CDs and DVDs in China than they have about the fact that there is poisoned wheat gluten in the human food chain because that garbage was sold as food grade.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I keep going back to it. I'm probably putting people to sleep. But
no, they hope not.
You know, it's all got to be addressed. Everything, Albert, everything these people have touched, they have destroyed. It's all broken, and we're out of time.
All right.
Thanks, Albert.
All right, Bob. I'll talk to you later.
Smoke that bird.
Always.
All right, later.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks, Agnes, for coming back and producing this evening. It wouldn't be the Cathedral of Common Sense without Mother Superior Agnes. Thanks to John Fox, our engineer. Thanks to Brian Reznor, our announcer. Thanks to our IT professional, Peter Godbold. Many, many, many thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, the man who is the hardest working man in liberal talk. Make his fundraiser a real fundraiser, please. Thanks to the many thousands of members of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and go and build the American dream. Nappy time for you, little Liza. And always, always, RMR, it's all for you.
That Al Qaeda number 3 is confessing that he stole missing emails. I can't even say that with a straight face. I expect that to come out to go out of Guantanamo, that Al Qaeda number 3 stole the missing emails that are in question, that the Democrats are trying to get the GOP, the White House, the Bush administration to release. It's Al-Qaeda number 3. Welcome aboard, everyone, to another edition of the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We're glad you are here with us. To all our longtime Wolfpack listeners and all to the new Wolfpack listeners discovering the show on a daily basis, we thank you for all your emails, sending it out there and letting us know that you exist. And Samantha joining me in the studio is always my producer, Natasha, my news producer and better half, Dave, our website designer, and Rusty, our guidance and inspiration, and Maverick, our intern, who's now become an official member of the Wolfpack listening group here at Studio 19. We're in Arizona. Beautiful, beautiful, cool day today, overlooking the Superstition Mountain, and a lot of things in the news. We always have a lot of different things. First of all, some business out of the way. A big plug to Nonstop Radio, nonstopradio.com. Check it out. They finally put up a link page for alternatives to Nova M and alternatives to AAR, Air America. Finally realizing that internet radio is the way to go. Everyone is so upset they're losing the progressive talk shows in all their cities, but they're forgetting internet streamed radio is the future of progressive liberal radio. It's great to have the big hitters like Malloy and Hartman and Miller and Collins and Werby and Press and etc. But the bottom line is internet radio. This is what people are listening to. With the new devices out there, the new gadgets, they can listen at any time, anywhere, any station, anywhere in the world. They don't have to be tied to a network. So